Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Connors. There was more debate over the buildup of U.S. troops in Iraq today on Capitol Hill. Some retired generals in opposition came to testify, like Barry McCaffrey, retired Army two-star who commanded one division during the first Gulf War.
The current administration, I don't think, has any intention of withdrawing from Iraq. They're going to try and muscle this thing out in the next 24 months with an urban counterinsurgency plan that I personally believe, with all due respect, is a fool's errand.
Moderate Democrat Senator Joe Lieberman.
I support the president's proposals because I believe we have so much on the line in Iraq. I think those who oppose the president's ideas have an obligation, responsibility, to propose an alternative course that offers the hope of success.
Congress gave the guidance to the Pentagon for its new handbook on the treatment and trial of suspected terrorists held at Guantanamo. CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The big question now is whether the rules actually bring about military trials or whether we see a whole new round of successful legal challenges that again tie things up for years. My sense is that we will finally see some trials.
Among the new rules, no evidence allowed from torture. Hearsay may be used, but only with the judge's review and approval, and the process is open to civil court review. Government consumer experts rushed to retest infant safety seats this past weekend after the Consumer Reports article came out blasting the safety of 10 out of 12 seats on the market. Now Douglas Love at Consumer Reports says they are retracting their study.
Hold tight for now. We will have additional results at a later date. We regret the questions regarding our testing, and we're anxious to see new results posted as soon as we can.
The lab that did the Consumers Union study reportedly crashed cars at 70 miles an hour, not 38, which wrongly skewed the results. The government says those infant safety seats are all safe. The 15-year-old boy rescued from his alleged kidnapper after four long years was on Oprah Winfrey's show today, Sean Hornbeck.
It's been great. Mm-hmm. For all of us, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. It's great to be back home, seeing familiar faces, new ones.
The suspect, 41-year-old Michael Devlin, pleaded innocent today in Union, Missouri, to kidnapping the second boy in the rescue, 13-year-old Ben Ownby. A warning to baseball team owners today from former Senate Majority Leader George Mitchell, who's leading the investigation into steroid abuse in the national pastime. Mitchell told the owners at baseball's quarterly meeting their lack of cooperation makes it more and more likely that Washington politicians will stick their nose into it before it's over. On Wall Street, the Dow lost about 9 points today. The Nasdaq was down 36. Oil prices, $50.48 a barrel, down another $1.76. This is CBS News.
For me, buying a home is more than the number of bedrooms and bathrooms.
Can't imagine making a purchase like that without having someone you can trust.
Somebody with integrity protecting you.
Ethics are crucial.
Honesty and dependability.
I can't call myself a realtor unless I complete ethics training.
Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics, so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
They live and work by a code of ethics, and that was really important to me.
Hi, I'm Kenny Mayne. Safe, good drivers like Vern here, who switched to Progressive Direct last year, saved hundreds of dollars. So, Vern, what did you do with the savings?
I made my car even safer.
How?
Linked a PA system to my blinker here and...
I plan on turning left. Okay, good times. Progressive rewards good drivers with great savings. You can use those savings to do things like Vern here. Or not. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Rates and potential savings will vary.
Do blue-eyed men love their mirrors more than men with brown eyes, or is it just genetics that makes them pick women with the same color eyes?
People with blue eyes and brown eyes were surveyed by a university in Norway, which found only one group with a strong preference. Blue-eyed men much prefer their partners to be blue-eyed women.
Make my brown eyes
The brown-eyed subjects don't seem to care much. Why? It's the unconscious animal in us. Blue eyes are a recessive trait, not dominant. This study says blue-eyed men want to feel certain their children will be like them, so best to have a blue-eyed mother. Dan Revive, CBS News.
Four homeless people are being sued in New York City by an antiques dealer. They have camped out in front of his shop on Madison Avenue, and he says they're scaring away the customers, panhandling and such. The lawsuit is for $1 million. The shop owner says the point is really just to get them to move. He says he has complained to the police and got Zippo. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Every day, Progressive does something that's, well, progressive. They have this real-time ticker on their website. It shows their rates for car insurance and the rates of their top competitors, like State Farm and Allstate. Right now on Progressive.com, you can see actual rates that people are getting. Sometimes Progressive Direct is the lowest. Sometimes they're not. If they're this helpful when you're shopping for car insurance, imagine how they'll be once you're a customer. Visit Progressive.com or call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Available in most states and situations. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio.
Why settle for another pre-made combo meal when right now you can get a Subway Fresh Value Meal at a great price? A delicious sub with chips and a drink. The Subway Fresh Value Meal. What a deal. Subway restaurants, where freshness meets value. Subway. Eat fresh.
Offer good on regular 6-inch sub bag of chips and 21-ounce drinks. Subway's registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
Yeah. Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Our program originates in San Francisco on the nation's left coast. We are live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and we take your phone calls. All along during the program, you can call in toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. If you prefer, you can drop me an email, and people do, with comments, subjects that we ought to be talking about on the program, and advance information that sometimes makes me look really smart. My email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Or you can try humblehost@peterbcollins.com. And if you're not a big fan, send it to loudmouth@peterbcollins.com. I'll get it. My only regret is we only have 3 hours to engage you in conversation, talk about some of the big items going on in our world today. Faz Shakir will join us in a moment, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report in Washington. Story, top story today is Alberto Gonzalez declaring the NSA is A-OK. Also on today's program, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, Democrat from Oakland, will join us in about half an hour to talk about the resolution that she has co-sponsored with Maxine Waters and Lynn Woolsey in the House to get us out of Iraq. It's a new alternative. We'll discuss it with Congresswoman Lee. Also later this hour, Colonel Ann Wright, retired, is going to join us. She's one of Code Pink's representatives who went to Cuba last week to observe the grisly fifth anniversary of detainees from the 9/11 period being held at Guantanamo Bay. Also on today's program, our regular weekly contributor on military and veterans affairs, retired Army Major Scott Dick, will join us next hour. We're going to talk about Hillary's new theme. She's singing a new song. She wants to cap the troops and cut off the funding for the Iraqi troops. An interesting third way, Hill. Love it. And we'll talk about a lot of other issues with Scott Dick, too. Then there's lots of room for your phone calls, and we're expecting a call from a guy who sounds just like Dick Cheney. It could happen in our third and final hour in the Free Speech Zone. That's all ahead here today on the Peter B. Collins Show. And we begin with a little ditty from the King.
Hello.
Hi, Evis.
NSA, I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
just the way you
because
are.
You, because you really listen.
Now they'll be listening, but they're going to get a court order first. They say.
Now when I'm on the phone, well, I never feel alone. Cause you're out there with your headphones. And you really listen.
Ah, yes, they really listen at the NSA. That's Roy Zimmerman. Thank you, Roy. And Faz Shakir joins us, co-editor of the Daily Progress Report from Washington's Center for American Progress. Hello, Faz.
Hey, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. We're all doing a little better than Elvis.
So, he's still alive, though.
In my mind, he is. Yes, and at the NSA, they probably got tapes of him. Maybe there's some of Dick Cheney's favorites that he listens to late at night on his iPod. So, Faz, you have disclosed to us in the past you're a third-year law student. What do you make of Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez's 180-degree turn on the NSA spying program? They've decided that, after all, they can comply with the law and henceforth will be submitting requests for wiretaps and other surveillance to the FISA court as the law requires.
Well, first of all, Peter, I'm now an official law school graduate, so I can speak with that authority.
Well, congratulations. I didn't know that.
Yes, as of a few weeks ago, I finished my law school exams, and so I'm done.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And so secondly, in terms of Gonzalez's argument, I think it's largely a political one because the legal argument has never been on the administration side. They've always argued they had the authority through the 9/11 authorization and through various constitutional powers of the president, none of which have ever held any legal sway, and all sorts of legal scholars, judges have come out against that. So that's never been a real argument. It's been a political argument.
Don't forget, bald assertion. And right. I'm bald, so I can say that. And I'm referring to Dick Cheney because he's just repeatedly and baldly asserted, well, we've got the authority because I believe in robust executive authority.
Right, right. It's always been a political argument for them. It's that the President Bush has this authority because we just want to beat Democrats over the head with this. And that's why, of course, they came out and confirmed that the program existed. And then for the next few months, all they did was go out and tell people, in fact, here's a quote from President Bush, if the people of the United States don't think we ought to be listening in on the conversations of people who could do harm to the United States, then go ahead and vote for Democrats. I mean, that was their argument for many months. And that's why, of course, they're making the political argument that they had this power. Now, of course, the political tables have turned, and so we see them saying, well, yeah, we're going to go ahead and comply with the law, not necessarily making a legal argument that they actually have the authority to ignore the law any longer.
Now, this is a stunning reversal in many respects, Faz, and one of the things I find interesting is they were pushing hard for legislation that would essentially grant amnesty or immunity for any law-breaking that occurred under this presidential-authorized eavesdropping program that started sometime shortly after 9/11. And they didn't get that. And so now, with this reversal of policy, hasn't Gonzalez opened the administration up to a broadside attack on the legality of the operations in the interim?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you mentioned the Specter legislation, which is the one that would have granted President Bush broad authority and subjected him to no penalties not to comply with FISA. It was a terrible bill. We called it a sham. You called it a sham. Everybody knew it was a sham. And so now Gonzalez is actually admitting that that was never really a viable option. And you're right about what sort of legal ramifications do they face now, because they're admitting that they could have complied with FISA all along. If they're now submitting this to the FISA court and asking or and doing what many of us who would criticize them had asked for so long, then why couldn't they have done it earlier? And why were they operating outside the law for all those months and years? You're right. I think that there are legal questions now that need to be asked about whether their operations outside the law were whether we can just let those slide now.
Now, perhaps this is a ridiculous parallel, but I'll attempt it anyway. If I were to tell you that I'm no longer going to rob banks, would you be satisfied with that? Or would you want to look at that and say, well, if he says he's no longer going to rob banks, maybe he's been robbing some banks and we ought to take a look at that?
You know, it was a bizarre moment yesterday when the administration came out and announced they were going to comply with the FISA court and submit the program to the FISA court. There was this moment of an eruption of happiness. And it's a bizarre moment, of course, in D.C. when suddenly an administration that complies with the law generates all this happiness from the broad public. So those are the low expectations that the administration faces. But you're right in the point that you're making, that we should be very cautious of what the administration is now proposing. And along those lines, I'm not sure if you saw this today, that in the testimony that Gonzalez gave before the Senate Judiciary Committee, Patrick Leahy was asking Attorney General Gonzalez to give him the legal opinions that allow him to submit the FISA decision to the court. He wanted the judge's decision that allowed him to submit this to the court. And Attorney General Gonzalez pushed back on that and said, no, we will not allow you to see those documents. And Leahy produced a letter that coming from the judge of the FISA court, where she said she has no objections to producing this letter. It's only Attorney General Gonzalez that doesn't want to produce this letter because he claims it's confidential, and it's not.
Interesting. So as we look at this picture, we have an administration that for 13 months vilified the New York Times for revealing the NSA program, and they sat on it for over a year. They knew about it before the 04 November elections, but they didn't release it to us until December of 05. And the word from the president was that we should trust him with this authority because he's keeping us safe. And now Gonzalez is saying, we're going to comply with the law, we're going to submit these requests to the court, but trust me, I'm not going to reveal any of the specifics or even the basis for the authority granted by the super secret FISA court. So it's trust me then, trust me now, and I don't trust any of them ever, Faz.
I mean, you've nailed it on the head. That was a perfect summation of what's going on. And you're right to say that for the administration at this point to say, just trust us. They have no reservoir of trust left in this government at all. With respect to this issue, with respect to Iraq, whatever it is, you know, I mean, they just have no ability to come before the American public and say, just trust us. So there certainly does need to be more transparency involved in this process, and we want to see whether they actually do have the authority and what the FISA court said about this program.
Now, Faz, I didn't get to see any of the televised coverage of the Judiciary Committee hearings today. Did mail intercepts come up based on the signing statement and the December bill for the Postal Service that included an assertion by the White House that they could intercept our mail and look at it?
You know, the parts that I was watching, it did not. You know, okay. It's possible that I may have just missed that.
Sure.
But if I like, can I highlight just one part of the testimony that I really liked? Feingold went after Gonzalez, asking him, you know, do you or anyone this, in the country who opposed why is it that you're switching your position?
Mm-hmm.
Did you blame us for saying that we were opposing eavesdropping on terrorists? And he said, no, I never said that about the Democrats. I was just talking about bloggers in general.
Oh, the pesky bloggers. A lower life form than Democrats.
That's right, exactly.
We'll continue in a moment with Faz Shakir. Lines open if you'd like to join this conversation. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. 22 minutes after the hour, we're talking with Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report. If you're not receiving it now, log on to progressreport.org. And they'll deliver it free in your email every day. That's how I get it. Now, Faz, we've been watching with fascination as the first 100 hours in the House of Representatives led to some pretty interesting legislation that would clean up the ethics problems, open up the earmark process to some sunshine, limit corporate travel, other junkets, and free meals for members. And that's all in response to the Abramoff scandal. But we've hit some banana peels over in the United States Senate, and it appears that Republicans are trying to kill this legislation by demanding that it include a line item veto. Now, that's a whole separate issue that has a history of its own, and you know, there are pros and cons to it. But Mitch McConnell, who is hardly a king of ethics in his own right, has been arguing that the president needs a line item veto because then he could squelch some of the pork barrel deals and some of the croniest type legislation that produced Dick Cunningham, that has Jerry Lewis of Southern California under investigation right now. What's your take on the Senate action there?
Well, you know, last year the Senate voted on this sort of bill, a cleaner bill without this line item veto attached to it, and it gained broad bipartisan support. And there is broad bipartisan support for all the provisions that are relevant to lobbying reform, the corporate junkets, the gifts, the travel, cutting off pensions to convicted lawmakers, making it more difficult for former lawmakers to lobby their old colleagues, all those things, there's huge agreement. And so when it came down to it and the rubber met the road, it was time to vote. The Republicans all bugged out on it. 46 of them voted against the legislation. Why? Because they wanted to include this poison pill. That's all it was. They just wanted to get on the record as voting for these little provisions. So they had these votes on these little provisions to include in the final bill. They all voted for that. When it came down to the final of the bill, they all voted against it. So clearly it was an opportunity for them to get a couple of good votes on their record, but then to start a political war over this issue.
How do they think they can win on this?
I think it's a difficult haul for them because, first of all, 2006, as the 2006 midterm elections, as big as they were on Iraq, a lot of the exit polls revealed that corruption and lobbying reform was a major issue for a lot of voters. And the reason why it was a major issue was because they wanted to kick out the corrupt Republicans. And so here they are now trying to claim that they are mightier and holier than the Democrats on this because they want some sort of different, cleaner bill. That's absolutely false, of course. As you talked about, they want this line item bill that gives more power to President Bush. And so I don't know how they win on this, but the more I think they fight the Democrats, the worse off it becomes for them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we wouldn't want to limit this just to the incumbent in the White House, but there's no indication that the president or, you know, his staff or her staff, possibly in the future, really takes an interest or feels it's their role to police the ethics of the members of Congress. And typically, when the pork barrel stuff comes up, it's in these huge bills that are very hard for a president to veto or even line item veto because they're so voluminous and, they're often interlocked. The different elements are connected.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about a line item veto, particularly giving one to President Bush, because I think it's so easy to use that power in a political fashion where you strip out things that might help the other party and then go and campaign against them after you strip them out. So I think I could easily see that power being used in a political way, not in the way that it's being promoted and intended, which is to strip out pork. So that's my concern about that. But I think the larger debate here, and the Democrats are making this argument, is that the line item is irrelevant to this lobbying reform bill in general, because lobbying reform deals with the Senate policing itself and Congress policing itself. And the line item has very little to do with that. If they want to pass that, if they want to pass the line item, make it a standalone bill or have President Bush introduce and push for that. But you can do that at some later point in the game.
Mm-hmm. Also in today's progress report, the lead item is about the State of the Union, a kind of an advanced look at health care issues. Do you have an indication that the White House will offer some initiatives to expand coverage or to otherwise pretend that they're interested in the health issues that confront the American working family?
Yeah, I like the pretend formulation. Yeah, that's true. I think that, you know, for the last few years we've heard talk of the HSAs, and we haven't yet seen any action on that because obviously they have very little support in Congress for
those. Are health savings accounts that let you take pre-tax dollars and spend it on medical insurance or the deductibles that you have to pay.
Right. In essence, it's a type of corporate giveaway. It doesn't really help people at the lower income brackets. It just is another way for upper income people to stash away money for their health care.
Well, we'll go deeper on the health care issues next week. I'll be in your town in Washington for the Families USA annual health initiative conference. And I think we'll be talking a lot about expanding health care coverage, the models in Massachusetts, the proposal from California. And there's a lot of work to be done there. It's been overshadowed by foreign policy. But I'm hoping that we can get Democrats and maybe some of those others focused on expanding health care access during the coming year.
I'm anxious to hear your thoughts on California.
Well,
so we could talk about that later, too.
That's a deal. Thank you, Faz. Take care. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Peter.
Faz Shakir, Progress Report in Washington, D.C. Congresswoman Barbara Lee talks to us next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Show. Congresswoman Barbara Lee joins us next.
Those who start wars, never fight them. Those who fight wars, they never like them. Those who write laws, they can't recite them. Just fight laws, we live and die them. But I know they're never gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna tell you lies, no. Never ever gonna tell you why, no. They only wanna gonna tell you lies. It's time.
It's time.
It's time to go home. Don't take our boys away, no. Don't take our girls away, no. Don't take our boys away.
It's well past time for the U.S. to go home from Iraq. One of the leaders of the cause on Capitol Hill, member of the Out of Iraq Caucus and the Progressive Caucus, is the Democrat from Oakland, Congresswoman Barbara Lee. Barbara Lee, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Good afternoon. Good to be with you.
Nice to talk with you again. And here at my secret studio, over on a file cabinet, I have a sticker that says Free James Brown. Under it, Impeach Bush Cheney. Then there's a Kucinich for President sticker. And then there's a Barbara Lee Speaks for Me.
Oh, my goodness. Good company. I'm in great company.
And let me tell you that you and Maxine Waters and Lynn Woolsey are speaking for me and many Californians and other Americans in a powerful way, and I'm very grateful for the work that you're doing. A lot of struggling, a lot of very hard work. Some of it focused on convincing your Democratic colleagues to come along to your side. Give us a quick sense of where things stand. New York Times had an article last week, Democrats united against the surge, but not sure what to do about it.
Why, that's exactly why we introduced our bill, which calls for actually withdrawal, to begin withdrawal within 6 months. No permanent military bases in Iraq.
Amen.
Fund health care and mental health services for all of our veterans. It repeals the authorization to use force. You know, the entire 9 years. I think what you're seeing, though, is a good thing in the sense that several Democrats have introduced resolutions that say bring our troops home and end this occupation and civil war as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And the debate is long overdue. We haven't had much of a debate here in Washington, D.C.
Well, and so, even Republicans like Senator Chuck Hagel, bless him, are saying, isn't it time we have an honest debate with the American people about these issues? And to hear Hagel criticize the Republicans for the party unity and discipline that prevented that debate the last 4 years, that's refreshing.
It's very realistic, I think, because members of the House and Senate heard the American people last November. At the voting box, you know, voters voted mainly their one priority issue, and that's why we took back the House and the Senate, and that was the war. And I think people here in Washington, D.C. are trying to figure out how they can ensure that the American people's voices are heard and get us out of this mess. The president, of course, wants to escalate the war. He's going in the opposite direction of where we need to go. And so we're working on a variety of strategies to make sure that we begin to bring our young men and women home and engage in a diplomatic multilateral effort. I think we need to bring in Iran and Syria. It's going to be tough, you know, those talks, but they have to be brought in. They have an interest in Iraq, and so you can't just turn your head the other way.
Mm-hmm.
It's important that we have a plan, a realistic and practical plan. And the president, I mean, he called our bluff. You know, he says, well, if the critics of what I'm doing have a plan, present it. Well, that's exactly what we did, Mr. President.
Well, I heard him issue that dare in his charm offensive, the interviews he's been doing over the last few days, and that's a rove talking point now. Well, you got any better ideas?
Well, we have better ideas, and he needs to read the bill, and he needs to see that the first order priority is protect our troops. He needs to understand that we intend to make sure that they come home safely, and he needs to understand that we want to make sure that the Iraqi people are secure by providing for reconstruction and sovereignty and a diplomatic solution to this, which, of course, the Iraq Study Group recommended also. So these ideas are nothing new. It's just the president went on his listening tour and didn't listen.
Yeah.
And so we have to put this out there now so that he can, you know, say why he won't respond to our plan.
Congresswoman Barbara Lee is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The new legislation's been introduced, and I'm going to tick it off for you. It prohibits any permanent U.S. military bases in Iraq, accelerates funding for military and contractor training of Iraqi forces, authorizes a wide array of non-military U.S. bilateral and multilateral assistance for reconstruction and reconciliation, prohibits U.S. access to Iraqi oil production prior to the Iraqi government establishing clear rules for foreign ownership and participation. That puts these PSAs, the production sharing agreements, off to the side. Guarantees health care for U.S. veterans of military operations in Iraq. That's very significant. Creates a bipartisan joint committee to investigate the process by which the U.S. was led into war under false pretenses. And this is very important for me, Congresswoman, because I've heard too much about this, what I consider to be a phony sense of bipartisanship, to just let the past be the past and try to deal with the issues on the table and what we have to face going forward. But we can't properly do that without assessing responsibility for what has occurred to date. And the president gives these interviews where he skips right over the mess he's created in Iraq and basically says we've got to stay there because he created a quagmire.
Well, he created not only a mess, he created a situation now which has made our country less safe. He tried to convince the public that the horrific events of 9/11 were connected to Saddam Hussein and Iraq, and that just was not the case. He has distorted and misled the world down this path, and now he's got a mess on his hands, and no one can deny that. I mean, he has got a total mess, but I tell you one thing. The longer we stay there, the worse it's going to get. The longer U.S. troops are in Iraq, you can be assured that they will continue to be the targets of the violence. So we have to first remove our troops from that situation. And, yes, we need to hold the president accountable. You got to remember, for the last 8 years, since Bush has been in office, we've had, I'd say, one-party rule. There's been no separation of powers.
Yeah.
Legislative, executive, and judiciary have been coordinating in a way that scares me. It's been very treacherous in terms of our democracy. And so we're trying to just break that up now.
Well, and coming back to Senator Hagel, I think it's remarkable he wants to be president, and right now he is working to rein in the power of the presidency. I think that's constitutional. That's a real American. And I don't usually praise Republicans, but I think it's important to identify the behavior and say we need a little more of this.
We do. People have forgotten and have been scared to death by the president or lulled to sleep, you know, and have not understood that this consolidation of power has led really to the shutdown of our Constitution. And I think what many of us are trying to do is open the constitutional processes back up and adhere to what the Founding Fathers saw in the Constitution and why, and make it real again.
Now, Congresswoman, last week Senator Feingold blurted it out. He said that we really need to look at using the power of the purse to rein in this president. And I appreciate this bill. I appreciate the non-binding resolution that Levin and Biden and Chuck Hagel are sponsoring in the Senate. But ultimately, I think this president is determined not to listen, and he may even escalate into Iran. Are you prepared to lead the charge to cut off funding for the war if necessary?
Well, first, let me say, the first thing we've got to do is stop this supplemental. And I'm not going to vote for it. I'm on the Appropriations Committee, and I'm going to try to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
That's $100 billion.
Right.
Secondly, if you look at our bill, it effectively cuts off the funding for the war. I mean, when you look at the provisions of the bill and how it plays out, there will be no money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to develop a variety of strategies to address the funding. And I agree that that's, if the president won't listen again, we've got to do something. But at this point, we're looking at all kinds of efforts to rein him in and to bring our troops home so that, you know, bring them home safely and ensure that there's some regional stability and reconstruction efforts that take place in Iraq.
Congresswoman, switching to a different topic, today Alberto Gonzalez unveiled the new constitutional approach to surveillance under the NSA spying program. They are now going to submit to the FISA court, at least they say so. We've got to trust them on this like we were supposed to trust them before. And I am concerned that many Democrats, particularly in the Senate, are willing to let slide the clear law-breaking that occurred for at least the last 13 months, if not since October of 2001.
Well, I hope they don't let it slide. I know we're trying to figure out how to really exercise more investigative authority and powers and oversight and really expose what they did.
Mm-hmm.
I think what they're doing now in terms of at least saying, and you're right, you can't trust them. They've never really told the truth. Complying with FISA is, I think, an example of what elections can do. And I hope that people understand that their votes directly contributed to this decision by mm-hmm. Gonzalez and the administration today. There's no way they would have done that had the American people not spoken.
Congresswoman, I know you're busy. Do you have a moment to take a phone call?
Okay.
All right, we've got Dave in Eureka for Congresswoman Barbara Lee. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, you speak for me too, dear lady. Two things, if I might. One, well, how much do you know about election fraud, and what do you plan to do about that? And two, this Sam Farr's measure that he's got now to repeal any war powers that Bush thinks he got from the Congress to take them back. Do you think you'd be interested in co-sponsoring that measure?
Why, certainly, if I haven't already, I've agreed, because our bill has a repeal of the authorization to use force and the withdrawal of troops. So I commend Sam for putting this in. And as I say, there are many measures that are circulating now, and the more, the better.
And the election fraud issue, do you?
And let me tell you, I didn't support the Ohio elections. We protested. I led the charge in 2000 on Florida. And if you remember Fahrenheit 9/11, you'll see some of us,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to stop that from going down. So it's very important. I support paper trail in terms of ballots. I think we need to get rid of all of the, you know, fraudulent machines. And we have an election, for example, in Florida that's pending still.
Yeah, the Jennings Buchanan.
Yeah, so there are, mm-hmm. you know, it's outrageous what's taking place. And so we have to be very vigilant. We need a stronger electoral commission. We need more money, and we need to tighten up because...
Thank you for being in the Congress, dear lady.
Well, thank you, and good to hear from you.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. And I'll just second that Congresswoman Lee, I really believe that we've got to scrap the touchscreen voting machines. They are not reliable. They cannot be made secure. And as long as these companies maintain that their source codes are proprietary, we have no way of knowing that these machines can be trusted and that ultimately our elections are valid.
That's right, and I don't trust them. And I think we need to find a democratic mechanism to ensure democracy.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you for your time today. Thanks for your work, and please don't stop.
Thank you very much. Good talking to you.
Okay, that's bye-bye. Barbara Lee, Democrat from Oakland, a member of the Congress of the United States, talking about the new legislation, an alternative to Bush's Iraq escalation plan. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Colonel Ann Wright. Last week, she was at Guantanamo with a vigil observing the fifth anniversary of 9/11 detainees being held there. That's coming up next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
The days of wine and roses.
The fastest growing disease in America is addiction. It's time we talk about it openly. This is Sheila Gale. Join me Saturday afternoons from 4 to 5 for 12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we deal with addiction. It's about time.
That wasn't there before.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park.
Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We want to welcome Assemblywoman Anna Caballero back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing terrific. Thank you very much for the invitation.
We are so glad to have you on. We were at the victory party for you, and you were so happy, and I rightfully so.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, right up until you asked me to leave the party. You and Lucy, that was it.
Well, it was the dancing on the table that got you. The TV cameras were there. It just didn't look right.
I got you.
The show on KRXA 540 AM.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. A real pleasure to have a great American like Congresswoman Barbara Lee on our program today. And I promised one of her staff people I'd pass along this information. If you would like to get emails from Barbara Lee, which are called Lee-mails, clever, you have two ways to do it. You can log on to the website at lee.house.gov and sign up to get email alerts. Or on your cell phone, if you know how to use your thumbs, you can just text the name Lee, L-E-E, at 50555. So you text Lee and 50555, and it'll give you a window there where you can sign up to receive these alerts, either on your cell phone, PDA, or by old-fashioned Lee mail. And that's a way to stay in touch with her office and her efforts to get us out of the situation in Iraq. We turn now to Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Last week, a number of fine Americans went to conduct a vigil, a protest, at the gates of the Guantanamo base and the prison camp there. And among them is Colonel Ann Wright. She's a member of Code Pink for Peace. I met her, on several occasions at Camp Democracy and also last summer in Washington, D.C. Colonel Wright, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be with you.
Tell us what the scene was like. First, you went to Cuba, and after you'd been there for a few days, you made your way to the extreme end of the island where the U.S. leases the base called Guantanamo.
That's right. For 103 years, we've leased, so to speak. I think it's probably a lease that, by the twist of the arm, for $4,085, we've been leasing the naval base where the U.S. prison is located, where 770 men have been taken since January 11th, 2001, is the first time that prisoners started arriving there. And since then, 770 people have been through Guantanamo.
Mm-hmm. And I believe this is the, you know, location that brings the greatest shame to the United States. Maybe it's in competition with Abu Ghraib, but we know that Guantanamo was set up consciously by the Bush administration, thinking that they were outside the reach of the U.S. Constitution and U.S. courts, and that they could detain people without charge, without trial, incommunicado, simply by declaring them unlawful enemy combatants or terrorists.
And well, that's right.
Go ahead.
5 years of infamy that the United States has been enduring because of the Bush administration. And yet, you know, originally it was not set up that way. Originally, General Tommy Franks in November and December of 2001 said that all people picked up in Afghanistan would be accorded Geneva Convention protections, prisoner of war protections, and that was confirmed to us when we were in Cuba, where we were told that the chargé d'affaires of the U.S. intersection in Havana, Ambassador Vicki Huddleston, when she notified the Cuban government that there would be lots of flights coming into Guantanamo, said that don't worry about it because all the people that will be coming in will be protected by the Geneva Convention. Mm-hmm. And then in late January of 2002, Donald Rumsfeld overturned all of that and said that enemy combatants have no protections at all. And as a result, we find ourselves as the in the doghouse of the international community on human rights, and it's an atrocious, horrible situation that has to end. We must close Guantanamo.
I agree wholeheartedly. And what we've seen, too, is the president, with the cooperation of a compliant media, try to tell us that, well, it's just the really bad guys who we sent to Guantanamo. Well, the facts belie that, because hundreds of the 700 you cited have been released and returned to their nations of origin, and many of them were completely innocent. Some of them were sold into custody of the United States, and a bounty was paid by the U.S. to bring innocent people who were held in some cases for 2 to 3 years under atrocious conditions, including torture, coercive interrogation, waterboarding, exposure to loud rock music 24 hours a day, sleep deprivation, being forced to stand up. And this is a very sorry legacy of the United States, and one might be able to rationalize it, not me, but one might be able to rationalize it if truly these were the worst of the worst and truly dangerous individuals. But until the president announced that he was sending Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and about 10 others from the Gulag in Eastern Europe or Afghanistan over to Guantanamo Bay, we've never had any assurance that the detainees there really are the worst of the worst.
Well, that's right. And the statistics are that only 5% of the people in Guantanamo were captured by U.S. forces. 95% were bought by the United States. If you were a Taliban supporter, anything connected with Taliban, whoever turned you in got $5,000. If they could say, hey, it's Al-Qaeda, $25,000 the United States of America paid. So we were paying for people. We were buying people into this bondage that we've been doing. We had one of the prisoners that has been freed. You know, right now there are about 380 people that are left there. Mm-hmm. There are almost 400 that have been released.
Right.
Not one of them has been convicted once they go back to their home countries of anything. And several of them have actually been tried at their home countries. The home country used the evidence that the United States had provided. Nobody's been convicted of anything.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we had one of the prisoners that was with us, Asef Iqbal, a young man who was taken from, crazily, you know, there are a lot of people that go into areas not knowing what in the world they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he and two of his compatriots, who are now known as the Tipton Three, went into Afghanistan from Pakistan. He had been there because there was an arranged marriage for him.
Right.
Well, two of his buddies went into Afghanistan. They got caught in the middle of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got sold out.
Yeah.
They got sold. And for 2.5 years, he endured isolation, being in isolation for months and months at a time. Hearing his story from his own mouth it just breaks your heart.
Colonel, Colonel Wright, just 1 minute remaining. Tell us what you encountered when you went to Guantanamo.
Well, Guantanamo itself, we were on the outside fence, the perimeter of the Cuban side of it. The most poignant part was the mother of one of the current prisoners who had come all the way from Dubai to stand there at that fence, holding onto the fence and waving across the fence to her son, Omar de Gaius, who she has not seen for 5 years.
Wow.
And who, just like Asif, was sold into American hands, and who has done, I can pretty well guarantee you, he has not done anything, and ultimately he will be released after 5 years.
Yeah.
This is a shame. This is an infamous, terrible chapter in the history of America, and we need to be pressuring the Congress and the administration to close Guantanamo, put whomever they've got any evidence against, put him in the federal courts,
close the prison in Guantanamo.
Amen. Ann Wright, thanks for joining us. And I would only add, we also need to repeal the Stalin Act, the Military Commissions Act, that took us away from the Geneva Conventions and denied habeas corpus rights. Thank you
Absolutely.
For standing up for us. I really appreciate it, Ann.
Thank you.
Ann Wright on the Peter B. Collins Show.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Consumer Reports was wrong about infant car seats.
This is a striking reversal.
What did Sean Hornbeck do for 4 years?
I would mostly sleep. It's the only way I could ever pass the time.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Consumer Reports is a trusted authority on product safety, so parents took notice when the magazine published a scathing review of car seats for infants, saying most of them failed disastrously in crash tests. But what happened, says CBS News correspondent Bob Orr, is that the testers failed.
The problem, sources say, is that mistakenly, the lab doing the work for Consumer Reports initially tested the car seats at too high a force. The estimate is that the actual mile per hour of that test was closer to 70 miles per hour, not 38 miles per hour. And that extremely violent impact. Just about every car seat would be expected to fail.
Consumer Reports has retracted the report, says it will publish revisions after a new round of tests. Now this.
Hey, I'm here with the Tuttles from TLC's American Chopper.
Hey, this is Mike.
Paul Sr.
Paul Jr.
So, hey, Polly, I hear you're gearing up for a new season now on TLC, the Learning Channel.
What was,
and
what
is... He asked me a question!
Why do you do stupid things like that?
Hey, can you tell me about the new network, TLC?
Hey, I know who does more.
What about the new shop?
I think you're delusional.
You're an idiot.
And I'd like to thank everybody.
Shut up,
Mike. Okay, hey, all right, guys, thanks for coming in. Hey, everybody, don't forget, American Chopper premieres tonight at 9, 8 Central, only on TLC.
Let's kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, cause here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh Ahi Tuna is seasoned, seared, and served on better crisp remain. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
Sean Hornbeck, found in suburban St. Louis more than 4 years after his disappearance, spoke publicly today in a tape interview on the Oprah Winfrey Show. The boy said he knew his parents were looking for him and lived in hope.
I prayed to God that one day I would be back with my family every night, and I crossed myself every night.
Winfrey said Sean told her off camera that he never tried to contact his parents because he was terrified. His parents said they haven't asked Sean, but they believe he was sexually abused. 41-year-old Michael Devlin was arraigned today in the kidnapping of 13-year-old Ben Ownby.
Mr. Devlin, how do you wish to plead to this matter? Mr. Devlin?
I'm not guilty.
House Democrats reached their goal ahead of schedule this afternoon.
The final item in the Democrats' 100-hour agenda was a bill to roll back tax breaks for big oil companies and make them pay increased royalties for offshore drilling. Arizona Republican John Shattuck said it's a mistake.
When you increase the tax, the producers will pass that tax on, and our prices are going up.
But it's simple fairness, says Democrat Bill Pascrell, ending giveaways to an industry with record profits.
Begins the process of weaning off of corporate welfare. This is the beginning of it, so you better get used to it.
The bill, which still must pass the Senate, would invest the extra money in alternative fuels and renewable energy. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The nation's top economist sounded the alarm today. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that.
In his strongest warning yet about looming Medicare and Social Security budget strains, Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke warned Congress it must act soon.
If government debt and deficits were actually to grow at the pace envisioned, the effects on the U.S. economy would be severe.
Senate Budget Committee Chairman Kent Conrad told him already America does 65% of the entire world's borrowing.
These long-term imbalances could swamp the boat. How would you rate the urgency?
The longer we wait, the more severe, the more draconian the adjustments are going to be.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The White House insists there's no rift between President Bush and Iraq's prime minister. Nouri al-Maliki complained to interviewers today that the United States hadn't supplied enough weapons and equipment for Iraqi forces. A group of retired generals told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee they don't think more U.S. troops will solve the problem in Iraq. Joseph Hoare, former head of the Central Command, called the buildup a too little too late. And Barry McCaffrey, who led troops in the first Gulf War, predicted U.S. allies will be gone from Iraq by summer.
The current administration, I don't think, has any intention of withdrawing from Iraq. They're
benchmarks or not.
They're going to try and muscle this thing out in the next 24 months with an urban counterinsurgency plan that I personally believe, with all due respect, is a fool's errand.
In Baghdad, U.S. and Iraqi forces are on the offensive against Muqtada al-Sadr's Mahdi militia. Reportedly, key commanders of the militia have been killed or arrested in nighttime raids. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
For me, buying a home is more than the number of bedrooms and bathrooms.
Can't imagine making a purchase like that without having someone you can trust.
Somebody with integrity protecting you.
Ethics are crucial.
Honesty and dependability.
I can't call myself a realtor unless I complete ethics training.
Realtors adhere to a strict code of ethics, so you know you'll be treated honestly. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
They live and work by a code of ethics, and that was really important to me.
Hi, I'm Kenny Mayne. Safe, good drivers like Vern here, who switched to Progressive Direct last year, saved hundreds of dollars. So, Vern, what did you do with the savings?
I made my car even safer.
How?
Linked a PA system to my blinker here and...
I plan on turning left. I plan on turning left.
Okay, good times. Progressive rewards good drivers with great savings. You can use those savings to do things like Vern here. Or not. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE today.
Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Available in most states and situations. Rates and potential savings will vary.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, sending out a shout out and best wishes to our producer Matt Renner, who's home recovering from surgery and doing fine. As I mentioned, Matt Renner's away for a few days recuperating. If you want to drop him an email, he'd probably appreciate it. Just send it to matt@peterbcollins.com. My friend Dennis Jones is sitting in for Matt, taking care of the phone calls today. So if you want to join our conversation, don't hesitate. Call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's our toll-free number. This hour, it's our weekly visit with Scott Dick. He served in the Marines and then retired from the Army as a major. And he is our official contributor on military and veterans affairs here on the PBC show. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Peter. It's always great to be on your show.
Well, thanks for joining us again today. There's a lot to talk about. I wanted to start out with, I just got my newest issue of The New Yorker, and a writer named Steve Call has the opening piece in Talk of the Town, where he recaps President Bush's speech, the urge to surge, escalate our troop commitment in Iraq. And this writer goes into some detail on a couple of the people who've been promoted because apparently they support the increase in troops, as opposed to General Abizaid and General Casey, who, were shown the door when they didn't seem to be enthusiastic. And in fact, Abizaid gave testimony in mid-November saying that increasing the troops wouldn't help and is not advisable. But he writes, this guy Cole writes, Bush has appointed Lieutenant General Raymond T. Odierno to implement the new approach as the leader of day-to-day combat operations in Iraq. Odierno commanded the 4th Infantry Division in Iraq during 2003 and 04. He oversaw the capture of Saddam. He also has a record of either misreading the war or glossing over its difficulties. Odierno said in the summer of 2003 that the Sunnis were not close to guerrilla warfare and that the enemy had no will to fight. Early in 2004, he declared at a news conference that the insurgents he was facing were a fractured, sporadic threat who had been reduced to just a handful of cells. Maybe he fed Dick Cheney the line about the last throws. Anyway, he goes on, he also said, we see constant improvement, and so it is getting better. What do you know about Raymond T. Odierno? He's a lieutenant general, and the attitudes that you just heard described.
Well, I never served with a guy, or I would have served under him, if you will. But it sounds like he's just lockstep with Rumsfeld's pronouncements. You know, those at that level, those generals, we know from Galloway and other writers that for the first time in our history, the Secretary of Defense hand-selected generals at the two-star and above level. So it sounds like he's in perfect lockstep with the administration, and he's not going to stick his neck out.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's another description of one of the newly promoted leaders. In this Elizabethan milieu of flawed and ambitious men, none arrive on stage with more complex motivations than Lieutenant General David H. Petraeus, who Bush is sending to Iraq as Odierno's supervisor. Petraeus graduated from West Point the year before the fall of Saigon, later earned a doctorate in international relations from Princeton. The subject of his thesis was the hobbling impact of the Vietnam War on the uses of American military power. His most recent assignment was to rewrite the Army's counterinsurgency manual, which, amazingly, had not been updated in 2 decades. Petraeus is one last quiet American off to pacify a country that has proved to be a graveyard of theories.
Well, something about our standard operating manuals, the field manuals, the FMs, if you will, some are really good and some of them are really bad. And I haven't seen that counterinsurgency warfare FM. I saw the old copy, and it really was a piece of work. It spent a lot of time talking about avoiding the bamboo booby traps, even into the 80s.
Uh-huh.
So you could see the level of interest. And it's, you know, they accuse the Army of always fighting the last war. You're preparing to fight the last war.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that it'd be interesting to get my hands on that, take a look. It's amazing what we haven't done. In counterinsurgency warfare was shunted off to something called other operations other than war,
mm-hmm.
OUTWA, they used to call it. And it's, nobody spent any time thinking about it. It was just one of those things they had to do, so they did it. But it wasn't important.
Well, and I don't have the facts and figures in front of me, but from news accounts, I have gleaned that this new counterinsurgency plan that Petraeus supervised the development of calls for a ratio of troops to citizens that certainly is far higher than anything contemplated by this minuscule increase that Bush is promoting.
Well, Peter, the problem with counterinsurgency is it's not just semantics. When we talk about counterinsurgency, we're talking about an established government fighting against a group of its own citizens against it. Are we not?
Mm-hmm.
There is no manual that I know of in the field military manual system that describes how to protect American lives when they're in the middle of a civil war and that they're occupying country. So it's going to be tough because they don't have control. If you're in an insurgency and you're the central government and you're fighting off insurgents, you have control over a lot of stuff, the means of production, the banking system, the police forces, the intelligence. We don't have much control of that in Iraq. We don't even speak the language. So this is not a real counterinsurgency. So he may have written the manual on counterinsurgency, but it's also like Condoleezza Rice, her PhD is in the Soviet Union.
Right.
So just because he wrote the manual doesn't mean he's going to have any success implementing how to keep our guys safe and how to win this war. And I'm using this in quotation marks. You can't see my hands. When we're stuck in the middle of a civil war.
Well, you know, Condi read the old manual, and she's still looking for bamboo in Iraq.
Yeah.
We got bamboozled. We got no bamboo. One more quote from this article. It's pretty interesting. He cites a memo that McGeorge Bundy, some people will remember him as a White House counselor to President Johnson, Mundy wrote this memo February 7, 1965, concerning the escalation plan for Vietnam that Mundy thought might have as little as a 25% chance of success. And he wrote, even if it fails, the policy will be worth it. At a minimum, it will damp down the charge that we did not do all that we could have done, and this charge will be important in many countries, including our own. And, Scott, I've been thinking, as I react to the president's latest moves, that this is an effort to lay the groundwork for a future blame game, to say we were on our way to victory, we were pursuing victory, and those damn Democrats cut off the funding, capped the troops, and wouldn't let us finish the job. I call it the Curtis LeMay lament.
Well, you see, it's already out there. You're already beginning to see those kinds of letters to the editor. And they're wrongheaded when they say that. I've actually seen letters here on our own Monterey Peninsula that said that we lost the war in Vietnam because of the media. It's a bunch of crap. And the idea that we got the same thing going on, Peter. We misread and mischaracterized and misunderstood the enemy in Iraq just like we did in Vietnam, just like we did in the Cold War. You know, there's always two thoughts about the Soviet Union. It was a monolithic communistic state intent on dominating the entire world. And another thought, just as equally plausible, and it turns out to be true, that with only 8 million communists in the entire Russia, they were doing everything they could just to maintain what little power they had over that country. And they were never really a threat to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have the same thing. We have this civil war going on in Iraq. They're fighting out, they're settling old scores, and the right is trying to make out Islamofascism the same as they tried to make out communism, a global a plan to dominate the entire planet. Well, that's crazy.
Well, and what we've seen just from an armchair political view is that these have been used to justify bigger budgets for the Pentagon.
Right, exactly. And it's amazing. They used to put out something in the 80s called the... It was not the CIA country book, but there's another book. It did an assessment on the Soviet Union and mm-hmm. its war fighting capability. And, you know, once it was really investigated later on in the 90s after the wall came down, they found out that it was like between 25 and 40% overstated.
Yeah. Well, and I think actually they converted those documents to slideshows for Ronald Reagan, and I think that's when PowerPoint was invented. I'm not really sure, but that's my guess.
Ooh, curses on PowerPoint.
We're going to take a break. Give us a few bullet points on that when we come back. We'll continue with Scott Dick, and got a caller coming in. You can join this conversation anytime this hour. We welcome your calls at 888-5-PETER-B. Toll free, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. to perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal. Choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Checking your Central Coast traffic. We do have an accident in Salinas. It's a minor injury accident. Abbott Street at Harris Road. The northbound lane is completely blocked by this accident. A vehicle hit two light poles and a power pole. And due to this accident, traffic lights at this intersection are actually flashing red. So do remember, if you're at an intersection with flashing red lights, you treat it as a four-way stop sign. An earlier solo vehicle accident has been cleared out of the roadway over to the right-hand shoulder in Boulder Creek. This is Highway 236 at Highway 9. CHP is on scene. It's in the final clearing stages there. And a two-vehicle accident in Live Oak. This is Soquel Drive at Mission Drive. They're both cleared over to the right-hand shoulder as well. CHP just about on scene. Toyota owners, see your genuine Toyota Service Center for the convenience and value of an Express Lube Plus. Oil and filter change and tire rotation, all in under an hour. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans issues. You're welcome to join this conversation. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Lots of room for your phone calls in the free speech zone next hour, too. And, Scott, coming up here, I want to talk about the new proposal from Senator Clinton of New York, who just returned from a trip, a fact-finding mission to Iraq. But during the commercial break, I just pulled in an email that was sent just about 20 minutes ago. And this is a news story that was published today. It reads, U.S. launches armed force to block Iranian influence in Iraq. The U.S. military has launched a special operations task force to break up Iranian influence in Iraq, according to U.S. news sources. The special ops mission, known as Task Force 16, was created late last year to target Iranians trafficking arms and training Shiite militia forces. The operation is modeled on Task Force 15, a clandestine cadre of Navy SEALs, Army Delta Force soldiers, and CIA operatives, with a mission to capture or kill Al-Qaeda operatives and Ba'athist insurgents in Iraq. And Task Force 15 claimed responsibility for the pelt of Abu Musab Zarqawi last June. The new classified directive is part of an escalation of military countermeasures against Iran authorized by Bush to strike back at what military officials describe as a widespread web of Iranian influence in Iraq that includes providing weapons, training, and money to Shiite militias. It's a present, and the issue is, how do you deal with it? I'm sorry, it's present, not a present. It's present, says a senior U.S. military official. That's the question of the day. Those networks are something you got to deal with. You've got to figure out, bottom line, who plans them, who finances them, and who brings stuff across the borders. Now, I'm not surprised at this development. I'm only concerned that it's part of the larger package that Bush hinted at in his speech last week, that he is going to be confronting Iran and perhaps Syria, which is not quite the advice that he got from his daddy's friend, Jim Baker.
Well, Peter, this brings to mind immediately two things. First of all, what did they expect have sharing a border with Iran, that and Iraqis being predominantly Shia.
It's a huge border.
What did they expect? And number two, why did it take so long? They know that the Iranians go and support Muslims that are under siege, and I use that in quotation marks again. I'm not supporting them or making, you know, general affirmations of Iran's right to do this, but there were Iranians operating in Bosnia. This should have been no surprise that this would be an issue in Iraq. The only thing it would be a surprise for guys like Wolfowitz and Rumsfeld and these other idiots who thought this was going to be a cakewalk and they wouldn't have to deal with the Iranian problem. So I would say it's about time, and why weren't they doing this before? Why wasn't protecting the democracy and our American troops, why wasn't this part of the package? It should have been ongoing from day two.
Well, of course. And again, if people had bothered to look at history going way back to the 1980s, they would know of the, you know, the conflict between Iraq and Iran, the grudges that existed, and certainly Iran's Shiites' serious interest in the Shiite communities and the Shiite geography of Iraq.
And they share the same major Shia leader, al-Sistani. He's absolutely revered in Iran. It's clear. So they don't. I don't really see they. I don't see them as seeing the political border as being that important, because it is just a political border. So this is a this is something that should have been addressed at the highest levels on, like I said, on day two. What are we going to do about the Iranians?
Well, and again, my fear is that this was permitted to fester because they're looking for a provocation that would justify American military attacks on Iran.
I don't think that's smart, Peter. Not with the Iranian thing. Not with the atomic weapon deal.
You think I'm giving them too much credit?
Yeah, way too much credit.
Oh, gosh.
Because if they're not securing, if they didn't secure the ammo dumps and they're still unsecured, then this is just like one step too far. Cakewalk, overdone, democracy, we'll go on and we'll free the rest of the Middle East for democracy and make it safe for all of us to go and travel and do all that. Everything will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just boggles my mind, like this so-called escalation. They're probably describing it as echeloning these troops into Iraq, and others would say they're being piecemealed. It's really a piecemeal, and they're doing it, like I feared, a unit a month, so they don't overwhelm the logistics system.
Mm-hmm.
And the first troops over are going to be 2nd Brigade from 82nd Airborne. They're coming in from Kuwait, and then the 3rd Battalion, 43rd Air Defense Artillery Regiment. They have Patriot missiles. And then the 3rd Brigade of 3rd Infantry Division in March, 4th Striker Brigade is going in April. And the 2nd Brigade, 3rd Infantry in May, and then 4th Brigade Combat Team, 1st Infantry Division, they're going in three days earlier. And then they're holding the Minnesota Guard Unit over 4 months until August, which has the state of Minnesota very, very upset.
Yeah. Well, and you used a term there, and now I can't think of it.
Echelon?
Echelon, yeah. What does that mean?
Well, an echelon is when you have like one guy forward, then another guy back 45 degrees, and another guy 45 degrees as they're walking forward. That's an echelon.
I see.
And they use that to describe troop movements where instead of saying piecemeal, well, we're going to echelon troops forward. You know, we're going to send this unit in and then this unit behind them. And, you know, that's just eyewash. It's a way to present something sounding real military for a non-military situation. In other words, you can't put 10 pounds of cow manure into a 5-pound bag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're fighting with. And then you have these guys. I use the term eyewash. Are you familiar with that term? I don't mean when you get, you know, gasoline in your eye, what people come along and spray water in your eye. Eyewash is, in the old days, I've literally done this when I was in the Marine Corps, when they didn't have anything for us to do. We'd go out and paint the rocks white so they were decorative. And that was the way to keep us off the streets and keep our troops employed.
Huh. Well, my dad said when he was in the Army, they would dig ditches and then fill them up.
Well, that's not so much eyewash. Eyewash is the worst case was in Germany when we had the last Secretary of Defense, Perry, visit our base. We literally did a Potemkin village. We painted the walls and did window dressing on window new curtains and updated a rec center. The walls and things we painted were only the walls that he could see, and our boss, who's a two-star general, walked his route to see what he could see, and that's what we updated. And when he went into the rec center, that hadn't been renovated in 30 years. We renovated it for his 4-hour visit. So that's eyewash.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this is. 4,000 troops in Anbar. I don't know what they think that's going to do because they're not all combat troops. Remember,
yeah.
We talked about with Joe Galloway.
Mm-hmm.
there are a lot of logistics people in there. And then the 16,000, and what Keene is saying, this retired vice chief of staff, who Galloway also said is not known as a strategic thinker, he said that we're not going to, that part of this paper that came out of the American Enterprise Institute, which is a conservative, you know, it's funded by conservative interests.
Sure.
They're not going to worry about securing all 6 million people, just 2 million people, and that should be good enough for Baghdad.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll touch on that a little more and then talk about Hillary Rodham Clinton's new plan for Iraq. She's got some interesting proposals. That's coming up next, plus your phone calls, 888-5-PETER-B. Scott Dick with me, Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help. Every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM, listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Are we going to fry or not? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The global warming debate is intensifying again. I'm not sure why this always seems to happen when your car looks like an ice sculpture and there's snow in Malibu, but I guess it's because of the rumor that the president may actually mention global warming in his State of the Union address. The first rumor was that he would even do something about it, until spokesman Tony Snow said, "Don't be ridiculous." But the pressure is on. A group of evangelicals joined with climate scientists to say that if the Earth ends up like a raisin, God would be peeved. And Heidi Cullen of the Weather Channel proposed on her blog that TV weather persons who deny global warming lose their certification. Because if you're a global warming denier, how can we trust you with animated snowflakes? But what is this really about? Well, this is about whether mankind is going to try to prevent something which, worst case, is not going to happen for maybe 100 years. And we know full well we're not going to do anything about it because that's how we humans are. People still get hit by trains. Why? Because they walk along the train tracks figuring, what are the chances I'll get hit by a train? Even though they're standing on train tracks. That's who we are. That's why trains need whistles. So we're basically doomed. The only question is, who will future generations blame for whatever finally happens? I say we collect the names of all the debaters and engrave them on stone obelisks, which we place along the waterfronts of large cities. The names of the global warming deniers at eye level near the bottom, the names of the global warming alarmists near the top. And then, let nature decide.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. A consumer alert was recently reported in a leading consumer testing magazine. It warns, if you're sensitive to dust, avoid bagless vacuums. I would never make a bagless vacuum because they're filthy. My 8-pound Orrick XL is hypoallergenic. Try one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. You'll breathe easier knowing it's an Orrick XL.
This is Dave Ross on the scene.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Lord have mercy.
Can't get ahead
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with our weekly conversation with Scott Dick, our contributor on military and veterans affairs.
Listen.
But first, a word from Johnny Guitar Watson.
Listen. I'm working 40 hours, 6 long days, and I'm highly embarrassed every time I get my pay. And they're working everybody, Lord, they're working poor folks to death. And when you pay your rent and your car note, you ain't got a damn thing left.
Ain't that a bitch?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody doing something slick.
And, Scott Dick, we've got Joe in Phoenix who wanted to follow up on your comment about eyewash. Joe, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter B. And, young Marine, you served in Iraq, is that correct?
No, I did not.
Nope. Okay. He served in Vietnam and in Bosnia.
And in Bosnia. Well, I served in Vietnam. I was with the 1st Air Cav. You ever hear of those guys?
Sure.
Sure. Well, listen, I understand about your observation about eyewash. I'd like to know, then, why do you think we're really over there to do this last phase? We know the other reasons why we went over there, or at least the ostensible reasons, the real reasons, not the phony baloney reasons, but, you know, the oil and to help the war profiteers and for Israel. But what I'm curious about is what bothers me. I can't help but think that we're forced into making this move on Iran because Israel said if we didn't, they'd go bomb Iran. And do you think any of that has anything to do with this?
Well, that story that was leaked, I mean, we control so much of the Israeli GDP. I think, Peter, we're in the tune of giving them, I don't know, $10 billion a year. I don't remember if you guys remember the big fight between Reagan, because he had said something about he wasn't going to continue the loan guarantees for $10 billion. I'm not sure it's over that.
The official amount is $3 billion free and clear. That's not a loan. That's a payment that the U.S. makes to Israel every year. And then there are all kinds of deals we make to supply them with arms from U.S. manufacturers.
Right. So I'm not sure who needs whom more. But
the thrust of my question doesn't go so much to the economic support. I know all of that. But I can't help but go back to Jimmy Carter's point about in his book, you know, Palestine peace, not apartheid, and then Miesheimer and Walt, these two professors who did this extensive study about the influence of the Israeli lobby and how it controls our policy in the Middle East. And if it does, then does it really matter whether there are Republicans or Democrats in Congress, or does it really matter who's the president if there's this other untoward source of influence that dictates that we go to the Middle East and do certain stupid things like invade Iraq and occupy it, and like maybe possibly start a confrontation with Iran? That's where I'm going with
it. Well, Joe, let me offer a couple of comments. First of all, I understand the point you're making, and I do agree that Israel has undue political influence on the United States, and it is bipartisan, that influence. But I don't believe that the invasion of Iraq has really helped Israel or advanced their interests in any way that I can identify. And I believe that the idea of going in there was to topple Saddam because he tried to kill Bush's daddy, and to try to show up the first Bush administration so that the neocons could show that they're better and would finish the proverbial job. What they didn't count on was the depth of the problems of the occupation. They really thought they were going to waltz out of there about 6 months after they cakewalked in. And I never felt that there was a serious military threat posed by Iraq, and I didn't think it would be that difficult to topple Saddam. But like many others, I've had great reservations about taking control of that country and how you get out of it. And the whole idea that they're going to sprout democracy is a cruel hoax that we have imposed on them and that I don't believe they will ever live up to. So to get back to your original question, I think we have compound failures, compound mistakes that Bush and Rumsfeld were unwilling to acknowledge for so long. And now they've dug us in so deep that they just spin past the causes and say, well, we can't afford to leave because it will, be like Mogadishu or Vietnam. It's going to leave a legacy of the U.S. withdrawing in defeat. And, of course, my point is you caused that defeat. We can't unravel it or unring the bell. We've got to accept the consequences of your poor judgment and your miscalculations and you know, move out of there the best we can as soon as we can. That's my position, Joe.
Peter, let me jump in there.
Peter,
Hold on, Joe. Scott's got a comment. Go ahead, Scott.
We have stood up to Israel before on occasion. And so this isn't it's not beyond our comprehension or our spine level. But I think what's more important is to understand that there's some, I think there's a geopolitical game that the neocons are playing. I remember, Peter, after the wall came down, it was quiet for a couple of years. We were talking about the peace dividend and bringing troops from all over the globe back because we had them there to fight this global, this monster, this communist monster that was intent on consuming the entire planet.
Yeah.
And I remember reading Foreign Affairs magazine in the early 90s, and I've looked for this and I can't find it. So if somebody out there finds it, let me know. A specific issue devoted in the early 90s to whether Islam was our next global enemy or not. And searching for, it's always been more comfortable for the military establishment and our political leaders to have a clearly defined enemy. And that was simple during the Cold War. We knew who all the bad guys were, we knew who all the good guys were, and we knew who all the gray guys were, the people who played both sides. After the wall came down, there was no justification for massive subsidies for defense industries and all these other things that make money. And so I believe we created this situation, and this is just the what we're seeing as the actual execution of the project is to create this dividing line. We know who the bad guys are, and we know who the good guys are. And it's a real sick kind of game, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with everything that both of you all said except for one thing. Either being this, I agree with you, 98% of everything except for 2%.
Okay.
Israel was not a threat Iraq was not a threat to the United States, but Iraq always was a threat to Israel. And even in the project for a new American century, the goal, the plan, the master plan, the Mein Kampf of the neocons, several of whom were strong Israeli supporters, two of whom had been former assistants to Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, the neocons wanted the United States to take out Syria, Iraq, Iran, and this would allow Israel to take over the whole Middle East, and this would create a vacuum of a power of any threat against Israel. And Ariel Sharon specifically said he wanted the United States to invade Iraq at the time. So my point is, I see this mood, this trend, and I hate to be like a lone voice crying in the wilderness because it makes me sound like I'm just anti-Israel or anti-Semitic, and I'm not. But I'm looking at the threat, and your Marine guest there is very, very astute there. He's very well tuned. The military looks for threats. The first thing you got to do is identify the threat, and it's easy now. Who's the one threat now? Arabs and Muslims are the threat, and the only people that they were a threat to before were Israel.
All right, Joe, I appreciate your call. You're very well informed, and I thank you for joining us for the discussion today. Now to Margaret in North Carolina. Hello, Margaret. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Thank you. And hello, Scott.
Hi, Margaret.
Very interesting conversation, and I'm hoping, well, I agree with the last few minutes of, I know enough of the history. I'm a military brat child, and I'm 60, so I go back, and you can't help but be involved when you have grown up in that environment. Now, you know, 10 days after the World Trade Center fiasco, Cheney said, we're now in a 50-year war. And if you go back to the Pax Americana and the group that the previous gentleman was just talking about, back in the 80s, they were already laying this out, exactly step by step. They have actually succeeded. They've created a horrendous chaos, particularly in the Mideast, but also spreading throughout the world. And this is exactly what they want. And they're actually probably gleefully laughing at all of us who want to have peace and stop this war because they see themselves as being in power for the next 50 years and having chaos. Now, that's just my commentary. My question to you, Scott, particularly, is I was watching one of these congressional inquiries, and they had the generals before them. This was a couple of days after they had gone after Condi Rice, which they did a pretty good job of. And the general was asked a question about what these troops were going to be doing, and he literally laid out the fact that, you know, 4,000 to Anbar and the rest of them to Baghdad, and that they would be literally embedded with the Iraqi police, security forces, and they were going to literally live in these police stations. And so, two questions. One is, I have followed the international news via the internet, and many, many of these bombings actually occur at these police stations.
Right.
So our men are going to sleep there, right? They're going to be embedded with soldiers that, frankly, I don't believe are our friends. But be that as it may, are they going to have American equipment? Are there going to be some kind of, I mean, what's going to protect them from these police stations? And part B of the question is, I think we're setting these, our people up for a massacre. And 2 days before Condi Rice actually answered questions and said, I don't have any, we don't do estimates on death estimates, the Pentagon gave the White House on that Monday, 2 days before the president's speech, an estimate of another 10,000 American troops killed prior, you know, with, by the end of 2008. Well, and I'm going, well, they've set up a perfect massacre. Is this going to, are our troops not, are we going to drive around in those stupid little trucks that the Iraqis do?
let me jump in there. First of all, Condoleezza Rice is wrong, and I can't.
Oh,
say
I know she is.
She can't. I can't say she's a liar, but we, the military, I should say, weak is. I'm out of it now. They always do casualty assessments.
I know that
they need
yes.
to know how to pre-position their medical stocks and their medical personnel and what forward medical units they need to move. If
right.
they don't, it's misfeasance. So the casualty reporting, the casualty risk analysis, risk assessment is always going on. And for an operation like this, you bet they know what assets they're going to need to move around the battlefield.
Exactly.
Next, my guess is any responsible commander, because this is what I would do, I would fortify those police forces, those police stations, like we have our own bases fortified. And that's going to take some time.
Yeah.
They have to move a lot of sand and gravel to fill these really, these devices that are basically made from screen and cardboard, no kidding, invented by a Brit, and their field was like, I don't know, like 10 tons of rocks and sand. And they're excellent, and they build them up. It's going to be Gunga Din, basically, the fortresses of North Africa,
right.
These police stations. Those police officers are being trained by American and foreign contractors. They're armed with weapons purchased. A lot of the weapons, we're missing 75,000 small arms that we already paid for.
Yep.
A lot of the police forces have been infiltrated by the Shia militias and the Sunni insurgents. So our guys will be probably doing a 24-hour-day guard inside their own police forces. I don't think anybody's going to sleep all at once. Nobody's going to be hanging out, barbecuing, that kind of thing. That's going to be combat, full-time combat duty.
And with even those precautions, which I think are wise, Margaret, your point is well taken, that we cannot trust the Iraqi military or security or police. They have been heavily infiltrated by Muqtada al-Sadr's militia, the Mahdi Army, and our boy Maliki has made a big show of rounding up a few leaders of the Mahdi Army in the last day or so, but I think that's just for show.
Peter,
and when it comes down to the troop level, I think that a lot of Americans will have to watch their backs, and first and foremost from the people they're allegedly teamed up with. Scott?
Well, I was going to say, Peter, that the term is eyewash. I just wanted to get, you know, a couple weeks, those guys will disappear out of jail.
Are we going to put medical units in each one of these police stations to protect our own men?
No, the medical units won't be there. It's too, it'd be way too dangerous.
Oh, my God.
Margaret, I got to run to a break.
Yes,
thank you for
thank you guys. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling in today. 888-5 Peter B is our toll free number. We return with Scott Dick after a quick break here on the Peter B Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
A little bit of better news, an earlier accident in Boulder Creek, Highway 236 at Highway 9. This was a solo vehicle accident. It has been cleared over to the shoulder, CHP on scene. Just take your report before they clear all the way out of there. Two vehicle accident in Live Oak, Soquel Drive at Mission Drive, both over to the shoulder there. Looking at the Santa Cruz Mountains, we have no new stalls or accidents report either direction of Highway 17. There's some long-term road work you should be aware of going on in Santa Cruz. This is northbound Highway 1. The Emmeline Avenue off-ramp is actually closed for long-term road work. This is scheduled to continue all the way through December of this year. A suggested alternate for you is Branson 40 Avenue, so detours are posted in place for you, but definitely good to know it's there before you're up on it. Toyota owners, see your genuine Toyota Service Center for the convenience and value of an Express Lube Plus, oil and filter change, and tire rotation all in under an hour. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues, 10 minutes away from the hour. Scott Dick remains with us, our contributor on military and veterans issues.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
Scott Dick, Senator Hillary Clinton returned from a trip to Iraq, and as many people had suspected, she's using this opportunity to shift her position on the war. And it's still a little convoluted. She says that she doesn't support a timeline for withdrawal of U.S. forces, but she wants them out of there very quickly. She won't specify when. She says, "Don't be mistaken. I'm for ending this war as soon as possible." But one of the key elements she calls for is a troop cap. Based on the level of troops, American troops in Iraq as of January 1st of 06. Do you have any problem with that?
I do. First of all, I would describe what she's doing as position creep.
Yeah, so very good. Yeah.
From the middle of 2008, she's going to be squarely in the middle where everybody else was 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I have a big problem with troop caps because they're completely artificial. And why at 130,000 or 128,000? Why not 151, 162? You know, if there's some kind of emergency, a troop cap, unless the president just ignored it like he ignored everything else, that would be bad. And they could point their finger at the Congress and say, "You did a troop cap. We have troops dying there. We can't send any more." Blah blah blah. That's just a prescription for disaster, and the blame will go on Congress instead of on the administration, the executive branch, and the military where it belongs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's bad. It's a dumb idea. As far as I'm concerned.
We're going to talk more about Mrs. Clinton's proposals coming up in the free speech zone after the top of the hour. Here's an email from Mike in Tempe, Arizona. He says, "One comment I feel about Iran is that any conflict that develops will be based on a U.S. false flag operation. He said, I'm sure you're familiar with the history of false flags. Iran is not foolish enough to overtly provoke the U.S. If we attack Iran, it will be after we pull another false flag operation with them. Do you believe that the raid on the consulate that the U.S. says was just an office building, but it's an Iranian facility in the northern Iraqi city of Erbil last week, do you think that was the equivalent of a declaration of war attacking a diplomatic post?
Are you asking me, Peter?
I am. Mm-hmm.
No. If our military people are not lying, let's say if, and they're not diplomatically passported individuals, in other words, if they don't have black passports, then they're fair game. If they have black passports and that terrain is recognized as Iranian terrain inside of Iraq, then that's an issue. Mm-hmm. But if they're not carrying black passports, forget about it.
All right. That's what we'll have to look for. Billy joins us from Capitola or Santa Cruz. Hi, Billy.
Hey. Believe the soldier boy. He has it right most of the time. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Billy.
So that was an incredibly interesting phone call we had before, and it really indicates some thought. This is the Israel controls our politics phone call.
Well, let's not mischaracterize it. He talked about excessive influence. He didn't say control.
No. See, that's not what he talked about. See, that's the point. It is proper to talk about influence.
Mm-hmm.
But no, he said, no, it doesn't matter who's president. He was buying somebody's thesis that it really doesn't matter who's president because this Israeli lobby controls how this country relates to them. Now, you and I know the word is influence, not control. Scott said it at the time. He said, oh, it's changed at times because it does matter who's president and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it does show you how this is the thinking. This is that subtle switch. It doesn't look like it's a big deal, but it's a huge deal as to how people see the world and how some of them miss what's really going on and how you can be misled and be a willing participant in seeing the world wrong. You know?
Billy, let me jump in here for a second because the idea that we've never sort of pushed back on the Israelis is crazy. We've spent, I don't know, backdoor hours. You know, some of those missions that we never heard about that went to Israel and plunked down the big book, they put down the iron glove and said, you will or will not do this. And we noticed funny shifts in Israeli policy towards all sorts of external, you know, political things, the way they treated Palestinians, et cetera, et cetera. That's because we used silent diplomacy, we worked our tails off, and we used the big stick.
Absolutely.
Now, we got an administration who is either religiously based or something, I don't know. They've fallen prey to the whole idea of whatever the Israelis want to do, it's part of the global war on terror. And they shouldn't be criticized, nor should we. And I think this is the first time that we've just said, okay, whatever.
And yeah, well, you know, that may well be the case. And I'm just talking about the sort of larger picture of how we become conspiracy theorists versus intelligent people trying to, you know, deal with the fact that, oh, as the last call says, false flag, you know, our leaders lie to us, not even just this horrible one we have now, but in the past they've always lied to us as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So,
yeah.
Gee, we're, you know, I mean, I don't know, you know, it's sort of like, what do we even bother with talk radio for? Because, hell, they don't listen to us, they lie to us, you know, Bush tells us, Serge, I'll do what I want. In fact, it's already done.
Well, talk radio's for me and other people who can't afford health insurance that covers visits to psychiatrists.
That's exactly it. Hey, you know who Dinesh D'Souza is, right?
Dinesh D'Souza, sure.
Yeah, so he's a right-wing writer.
Yeah.
He's got a new book out that blames the liberals for 9/11.
Beautiful.
Here's his argument. Because we got rid of the Shah, that liberal, president
Robert
at the time, well, you know, when we like supported, you know, we were supporting human rights, we got rid of the Shah, that was a really bad thing, showed us to be soft, and that's why they went after us. Well, isn't that what Bush just did? Didn't he like get rid of a dictator because he was violating people's human rights or whatever excuse you're using this week?
Well, geopolitics are important in that part of the world, and when they drew the borders incorporating minorities into large minorities into political where political boundaries didn't exist, that was a way to keep a country weak. And Saddam Hussein was the perfect guy to keep that place weak. And, you know, every once in a while he went off message and, you know, invaded other countries. But for the most part, he kept that mess under control. And we took the lid off, and it was Pandora's box, and now we're reaping the
I heard a great analogy for that today. People are saying, like, farmers know that, you know, cow chips out there, you leave them alone, they dry out, no problem. You break one open, and boy, it's a real stink.
Hey, Peter, before we have to leave, I want to say something else about the last part of what...
Thanks, Billy. Go ahead, Scott.
Senator Clinton said.
Yeah.
He said, you don't want to say there's nobody within the Iraqi government who's really committed to any non-sectarian future, but the weight of the evidence is that the people in charge are not committed that way. Can we say that not about our own government?
Yes, we can. We just ought to remove the double negatives and make it a declarative sentence.
We have a guy in on right-wing talk, both on radio and TV, who every time somebody disagrees with him, he calls him a secular progressive. What's the opposite of a secular progressive?
A neocon, revolutionary radical.
Religious.
Yeah, we should add that, too.
Religious.
All right, Scott, thank you very much. Great session. We'll talk to you again soon.
You're welcome, Peter.
Scott Dick right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're going to go into the Free Speech Zone next. Your calls and comments are welcome. If you've got a line, hold on to it. We'll get to you first next hour. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Go to my website, peterbcollins.com. See what happens.
The days of wine and roses.
12-step talk uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing.
Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With Pilar. With Pilar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different. Or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The latest issue of Consumer Reports features crash tests of infant car seats and warns that most of them are unsafe. But today, CBS News correspondent Bob Orr says the respected magazine retracted its conclusions.
Sources say government crash experts questioned the magazine's report from the start. And when the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration did its own round of tests just days ago, investigators zeroed in on a whopping mistake. While Consumer Reports claimed it used a 38-mile-per-hour side-impact collision, the seats were actually tested by an outside lab at speeds topping 70 miles per hour, where seats would almost certainly fail.
Indeed, Consumer Reports says some seats failed disastrously. Revised findings will be published after a new round of tests. Viewers of today's Oprah Winfrey Show heard the first public comments from Sean Hornbeck, the Missouri boy found alive after 4 years. He said he knew the whole time that his parents were looking for him and wouldn't give up, and he's thrilled to be with them again.
It's been great for all of us, I'm sure. It's great to be back home, seeing familiar faces, new ones.
Tape courtesy of Harpo Productions. Why didn't he run? Winfrey says Hornbeck told her off camera that he was terrified. Pam Akers is the boy's mother.
I honestly and truly in my heart feel that in some way or another he had to have felt either he was going to be threatened or his sisters or myself or his dad.
The new strategy in Iraq may be getting its first major test. Shiite militia commanders in Baghdad say Prime Minister Maliki has stopped protecting Muqtada al-Sadr's Mahdi army. And a combined force of U.S. and Iraqi troops has been staging raids in Sadr City, killing or arresting key players. In Washington, CBS News correspondent Bob Schieffer says there are few key players in either party who support the troop buildup.
A Republican senator who has decided not to speak out against the president for fear it will hurt the war effort told me today that with the exception of Senators McCain and Senator Lindsey Graham, there is virtually no enthusiasm among Republican senators for enlarging our force in Iraq.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi says House Democrats would support a resolution that says sending more troops is not in the national interest of the United States. Today, House Democrats came to the end of their first 100 hours agenda with 13 hours to spare.
On this vote, the yeas are 264, the nays are 123. The bill is passed.
It's an energy bill. Details from CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The measure was-
had hit oil companies with about a $15 billion bill, taking back tax breaks given them by the Republican Congress and fixing old contracts that let them avoid royalties for offshore drilling. The Democrats propose using that money to encourage wind and solar and other clean sources of energy, along with ethanol and alternative fuels for cars. Opponents say the oil companies need incentives to drill for more oil here in the U.S.
The Dow down 9 points. This is CBS News.
The following is a paid commercial message.
It's estimated that over 200 million people in the U.S. suffer from herpes-caused cold sores. There are many products on the market today. Relieve One Day Cold Sores Symptom Treatment is excellent because it relieves cold sore symptoms in just a day. Pain eases in minutes and other symptoms resolve in just 24 hours. Relieve is non-toxic, comprised of botanical extracts, and is 100% guaranteed. Millions of sufferers have found that Relieve works best for them. Only you can determine that Relieve is best for you. You can now buy Relieve at most major stores.
Let's kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, cause here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh R.E. Turner is seasoned, seared, and served on a bed of crisp romaine. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
From San Francisco, KCBS Radio's Holly Kwan reports Nokia is disputing reports that one of its cell phones was responsible for a fire that left a man badly burned.
Investigators said the fire started in his pants pocket, and the only thing they discovered was his Nokia cell phone. But yesterday, company engineers took a look at the device, with fire department spokesman Bill Tweedy watching.
We brought in electrical engineers to look at the cell phone itself. The cell phone still works. The battery is still intact.
Which means it wasn't the phone.
Everything led us to believe that the only ignition source that was there was the phone to begin with, since there was nothing else in his pocket. So now that we've eliminated everything, the only thing left is an open flame source.
Which could be a lighter or matches used by the victim.
He's in critical condition. Medical researchers are warning about an especially dangerous staph germ that's been found in hospitals and elsewhere. It produces a poison that can kill pneumonia patients in 72 hours. The doctor calls it very scary. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hey, I'm here with the Tuttles from TLC's American Chopper.
Hey, this is Mike.
Paul Sr.
Paul Jr.
So, hey, Polly, I hear you're gearing up for a new season now on TLC, the Learning Channel.
He asked me a question!
Why do you do stupid things?
Can you tell me about the new network, TLC?
I know who does more.
What about the new shop?
I think you're delusional.
You're an idiot.
And I'd like to thank everybody.
Okay! Hey, all right, guys, thanks for coming in. Hey, everybody, don't forget, American Chopper premieres tonight at 9, 8 Central, only on TLC.
Let's kick back for the moment. Let your worries drift away, cause here we're living for today. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go of the day. Go out back tonight, where fresh R.E. Turner is seasoned, seared, and served on a bed of crisp romaine. Start the new year fresh. Leave your worries at the door.
Let's go out back tonight.
Tonight, let go.
Life will still be there tomorrow.
Go out back.
And we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm still your humble host, Peter B., and it's time for today's Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372.
Call Elvis. Says we're going. Call Elvis. We're all alone. But if you leave the building, I can't get to the phone. Call Elvis. We're all alone.
Well, as long as you're calling Elvis, let's have him sing a song Hello. For us. Hello, Elvis.
NSA, I just called you to say I love you.
I love you
because you really listen.
I want to hear your thoughts about the about face from the administration on the NSA wiretapping.
Now when I'm on the phone, well, I never feel alone, 'cause you're out there with your headphones.
Hello.
And you really listen.
Well, they really listen, especially if you speak Arabic. Or mention Osama.
Now hush. Don't say a word.
I just called you It's enough to know to say my words are being heard. And we're fighting freedom here at home. So we don't have to fight it over there.
Yes, we're fighting freedom at home.
Now my own sweet Marie never listens to me. Not my brother or even my mama. But when they're on the line, I know you hear me whine. Take that, Osama.
All right, that's Roy Zimmerman from the Faulty Intelligence CD, all about the NSA. And it is just incredible for me that yesterday Alberto Gonzalez, crony of the president and toady of the president, who sent this letter over to the Senate Judiciary Committee in advance of his appearance today, where he said, by the way, we decided we're going to go according to the law when we conduct surveillance. So the president is not going to renew the 45-day authorization that has just expired to continue the warrantless and thus illegal surveillance by the National Security Agency. And I am stunned. I am frankly stunned. Certainly this is another setback for the Bush administration, and they saw their loss coming and decided to cut that loss. But it's a victory for you and me, friends, because I've never been opposed to authorized surveillance, police activities, to try to prevent attacks on the United States. But I've never been able to swallow the argument from the Bush administration that the FISA court procedures were overly restrictive, took too much time, and they couldn't be bothered to comply with them. And as we discuss this today, I want to acknowledge my personal minder at the NSA, Benny. We like to play this little noise so he can pull his headset off. And speaking of the NSA, if you're a regular listener to the Peter B. Collins radio program, you may have heard last year when we talked with Carl Mayer. Just after the NSA surveillance program was revealed by the New York Times, only a year after the pivotal elections of 2004, that's how long they knew about it. Well, we also learned that emails were being intercepted in San Francisco and elsewhere around the country. And Carl Mayer has filed a class action suit to try to preserve our rights and essentially enforce the privacy rights of the phone companies that they have represented to us as customers. To say that, well, they will not give or sell our phone records to the federal government, at least without notifying the individuals involved. And it shouldn't happen at all, in my opinion, without a FISA court warrant. Well, got an update from attorney Carl Mayer yesterday. The cases have been consolidated before Judge Vaughn Walker in San Francisco. He appears to get the significance of these issues. And you can go to EFF.org, the website of the Electronic Frontier Foundation, to get the very latest information. And they have teamed up with EFF to try to win this litigation. Now, they're also opening another case, and they need help. Here is the specific request. If you are currently a customer of Bell South or AT&T, and you'd like to be a plaintiff in the antitrust case against the government over the NSA intercepts, you can email Carl Mayer, C-A-R-L-M-A-Y-E-R. Just run it all together as one word, carlmayer@aol.com. And they are particularly looking for a Bell South customer who now lives in California but still has property, you know, like a vacation home or some other domicile in one of these states. And I'll reel it off for you. So if you currently live in California but you used to reside in Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, North Carolina, South Carolina, or Tennessee, then you should contact Carl Mayer. They're looking for a California resident who owns rental or vacation property in a Bell South state and has residential Bell South service at that property. And if you fit the bill, email Carl Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, carlmayer@aol.com. And you have my blessing on that. I am a plaintiff in one of the cases, one of the class action suits that he has filed. So I'd like to hear your comments on the switch on NSA, on Barbara Lee, the congresswoman from Oakland, who spoke with us a couple of hours ago about the new legislation to end the war in Iraq. I can recap that for you in a bit. I'll also recap the proposal from Senator Clinton, who is trying to split the difference and come up with that third way to present a solution or a resolution to the problem of Iraq. All those are up for grabs, and anything else you want to talk about as well. Toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Most of my lines are open, so get on now. It'll be a short wait on hold. 888-573-8372. Leonard joins us from Glendale. Leonard, thanks for hanging over from the last hour.
Hello. I'll call you Peter, even though I feel more comfortable calling you sir.
Oh, well, Peter's fine, sir.
Well, I'm somewhere North Phoenix suburb area. I thought I saw what looked like Elvis standing on the side of a Subway store, but, you know, I'm not sure. I really am not.
Yeah.
But
Was it the hefty Elvis or the pre-weight gain Elvis?
I think this was the skinnier Elvis. I think he's gotten himself into shape out here.
Oh,
you know?
Good.
I really do. But you know, real quickly, one comment on the third way. Basically, it sounds like it's another fence-setting move. I'm not sure. I like clear-cut to get us out of Iraq, get my fellow soldiers out of Iraq. Now that we're going to be embedding them with Iraqi police and stations, and they're not going to get hardly any rest, and their commanders, some of the commanders there will drive them mercilessly. Okay, the regular men, you know, my back is still killing me from different things, all the weight that you got to carry every time you go out of the wire. There's going to be more accidents, even if they're not combat, from fatigue and all the rest of it. And then another interesting note, the Arizona Republic out here ran an article last week on why narco-traficanos, drug dealers on the other side of the Arizona border, are getting more and more weapons. They're getting a hold of AR-15s, semi-automatics, because of the ban that, you know, was let go, but the question is, how are they getting across the border? I'm very curious because I have friends who are on the Arizona Guard, mm-hmm. Arizona border. They're in the Guard. How are these weapons are getting through? And, this is not a conspiracy theory. It basically follows a precedent of our government dealing with shady people. And here's how I believe the weapons are getting into the hands of drug traffickers who could possibly use them against our own people. National Guard and Border Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
As you remember, Manuel Noriega, the United States did allow him to smuggle in certain amounts of cocaine, drug shipments to, as a bribe, a payoff, the elder Bush, okay? You know, that was, I remember a magazine article in Vanity Fair, there was other articles detailing that. During World War II, we did deal with the mafia because on the docks and the wharfs along the coast, because that was a good way of combating Nazi spies. But I still think it's wrong if that is what we are doing in the case of the coyotes. If you think logically, Peter, the best way to know if somebody's trying to sneak through our southern border is not really, you know, what's going on right now, what they tell the public. What's really going on, the company has strong operations here in Arizona. This is all public, and I know I'm risking my life by saying it, but you know what? It's still my country, still America, and I believe they are dealing with coyotes. They are the United States government, the CIA, with Bush's authorization, is okaying bribes, payments to these drug dealers and narco-traficanos and weapons, just like they did in Iran-Contra, to the so-called, tell us if you think some terrorists are sneaking through. But I believe that's still wrong because the weapons they're getting now, we just had an armed group of drug narco-traficanos approached some National Guard soldiers here in Arizona. You might have read about it.
I did, yeah.
And they were forced to flee. Now, I am against that, and I think that we are dealing with drug dealers along the Arizona border, and it probably meets Mexico, so-called, to combat the terrorists. But I just ask people to think that that's not a bad thing. The first time one of these narco-traficanos sneaks across the border and shoots in to my fellow soldiers and kills a group of National Guardsmen, who's going to answer for that? You'll never hear about that.
And the other thing is we've kind of sloughed off the deployment of the National Guard to the border areas. They're doing absolutely nothing except being there for a feel-good photo op, and so the president can act like he's doing something. But they're not on duty, they're not on patrol, and to that extent, they are targets of the very people you just described. Leonard, I got to take a break. Thanks for your call today. Always appreciate hearing from you. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with us in the free speech zone. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's Ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's Ready?
That's right, Dinner's Ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's Ready!
Just arrived. It's Carmel, a treasure, a first, a combination calendar history book with souvenir maps archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan. Stories, illustrations of local businesses, dogs, and a brief history of Carmel's first Bohemians, including today's places and characters of note. This brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel, a special gift. Now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel.
Good evening. At this time, Monterey, Santa Cruz, Salinas, we have no new stalls or accidents to report. Santa Cruz Mounds, both directions of Highway 17, checking in, stall and accident-free. There is some long-term road work you should be aware of in Santa Cruz. This is northbound Highway 1. The Emmeline Avenue off-ramp is actually closed for long-term road work, which is scheduled to continue all the way through December of this year. So a suggested alternate for you is Branson 40 Avenue. Also in Santa Cruz, the Morrissey Boulevard exit from southbound Highway 1 has been closed for 3 to 4 months of road work there. So motorists can take Soquel Avenue or the Ocean Street off-ramp to access Morrissey. The on-ramp also closed, but the Fairmont Avenue on-ramp to southbound 1 remains open. The American Heart Association recommends a diet rich in antioxidants, so where can you find them? Welch's 100% grape juice. It's full of natural protective antioxidants. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're in the free speech zone where your calls and comments are welcome. Do you know the rules? You can call about any subject from any viewpoint from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Your comments will not be censored. Dennis answers the phone, puts you on hold, tells me what you want to talk about, and boom, we put you on the air. It's that easy. 888-5-PETER-B.
Every day is an endless train. You got to ride it to the end of the line. Be a troubleshooter, blow the bad luck away, and you will make it to your station on time. And you'll find out every trick in the book, and that there's only one way to get things done. You'll find out the only way to the top is looking out for number one. I mean, you keep looking out for number one.
Our music of the moment from the mid-1970s, Bachman Turner Overdrive. Looking out for number one. Yeah, if you want to make it to the top. Perfect setup. Thank you, Randy Bachman, for our discussion of the new proposal from Senator Clinton of New York, who wants to be your next president. She returned from Iraq, and she declared that President Bush's plan to send more troops is a losing strategy. And so she has a 3 or 4 point plan. She wants to cap the number of troops as of January 1st, 2006. And as you heard from Scott Dick at the end of the last hour, from a military perspective, that's a risky move. Politically, I understand the effort there. It's one way of reining in the president and saying, I don't agree with your current plan to add more troops. But it is broader than that, and so it could have unintended consequences there. The odd element is, as she says, this is quoting Senator Clinton, I'm not going to cut American troops funding right now. They're in harm's way. But what I do want to do is send a message to the Iraqi government. The funding for their security forces and personal security is at risk. And to send a message to the White House that there are certain conditions that we expect them to meet, or they have to come up with a new authorization for troops to remain in Iraq. Now, I agree with the second part of that. And I believe, according to Senator Warner and some Democrats, that it is time to acknowledge that the current authorization doesn't reflect the reality on the ground, and if Bush wants to stay there, he does need a new authorization. But Hillary goes on to say, I'm not for imposing a date, certain withdrawal date. Don't be mistaken, I am for ending this war as soon as possible. So I think that she's pivoting. I think that Scott said it very well, that this is a position creep. And she is trying to creep into the mainstream so that people don't notice when she runs for president in 2 years, that or a year and a half, that she has long been out of sync with the American people. Like to hear your comments on that. 888-5-PETER-B. Now we go to Steve in Phoenix. Hey, Steve, thanks for calling.
Hey, Peter.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
I'm talking to you.
I don't think your last caller's life is in danger, as he mentioned. I think he's safe.
Okay.
Just so you know. You know, this thing about troops and NSA, and so the problem I have is a lot of people say things that I think they believe in, but as soon as George Bush says them, they backtrack. Like, for example, Harry Reid, who was talking about increasing our troops over there until the president did, and then the fellow from Texas. It's sort of like this Sandy Berger. You know who he is?
Yes, I do.
What do you think about him stealing those classified documents out of that room in advance of his 9/11 testimony?
Well, it appeared he was trying to scrub the record of things that were unflattering to him.
Yeah,
and I cannot explain it, and I can't condone it. And he's compounded his errors by trying to wriggle out of it, like Scooter Libby saying, "Whoops, whoops."
Well, speaking of Scooter Libby, isn't it interesting that they spent all that money and in the end, Democrats don't want to talk about the fact that no one was charged or indicted with leaking classified information about Valerie Plame. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I think that you missed the point here.
Well, and that's the truth. Though.
I think you're doing that intentionally, Steve. Because
telling the truth?
No, you're trying to sidestep the real issue here. Scooter Libby was indicted for perjury and obstruction of justice.
Right. No, I agree with you. He was. But the initial charge that the independent counsel went after was Democrats were saying that Valerie Plame's name was illegally leaked.
And I believe that's the case.
Well, then why did not this rabid dog prosecutor indict anybody for that?
I don't think he's a rabid dog. If you take a look at his history, and I recommend a book by Peter Lance called Triple Cross, you'll see that Patrick Fitzgerald has a very mixed record. He's been tough in Chicago on corrupt individuals of both political parties. But in New York, which is where he was before he was dispatched to Chicago, he has a pretty sorry record, and he was on the terrorism front in the 1990s after the original World Trade Center bombing. And his record is very mixed. So,
but people have to come to the realization that if Republicans wanted to leak her name and really do damage to her, why didn't they just leak it to the Drudge Report or somewhere like that? Instead of the fact, what really happened?
They leaked it to Novak and Judy Miller.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but why didn't they leak it to every news organization and every gossip column? They didn't leak it with the intent for them to print it. They were giving background.
No. You're wrong about that.
Why wasn't anyone indicted then?
Well, I think that they covered their tracks pretty well, and the best that Fitzgerald could do as an initial case is to bring this perjury and obstruction case. He hopefully is building to bigger things. I'm not sure that'll occur because of political interference, but that's what I was hoping for. Steve, I got to run to a break. Thanks for calling today. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number, and my switchboard's wide open. I'd like to hear from you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Rapp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective here on KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. The line's open for you in the free speech zone. First-time callers are welcome. Any viewpoint, any subject, from anywhere within the sound of my voice, we pay for the call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans, and people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground.
We continue now in the free speech zone, and anybody can speak up in the free speech zone, even if you're like the number two guy in the White House who's really running things. Dick, how are you today?
Number two guy in the White House?
Well, not nominally.
Number two.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, keep believing that number.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peter, well, you know, this whole scooter thing is, you know, it's just a minor, you know, just a minor step in my grasp of the power.
Well, let's talk, Dick, and I've got a really big, broad shoulder here that you can lean on. Tim Russert tried to get you to talk about this. No, it was a friendly interviewer at Fox News Sunday, Chris Wallace.
My pal's over there, right?
Yeah, and you said, well, I'm going to stop there. But you don't have to stop with me because, you know, nobody's really listening and you're not going to get in any trouble. I know the NSA is listening. Benny's got us wired in there, recording everything, and you get to hear it later.
Oh, yeah. I get little transcripts, you know. And I get the transcripts transcribed into Braille, and then I spread them out all over my bed, and I roll on them at night. A lot of people don't know that.
Now, any truth that the juiciest, most salacious intercepted calls actually get transferred to you, and David Addington puts them on your iPod?
Yeah, I do. I've got constant updates, and then he highlights them for me, and he squeezes out the juicy parts.
Yeah,
and it keeps me smiling. Well, you know what I do for a smile.
Now, do you have one of those gizmos like W? You know that we can see on the back of your suit coat, strapped there on your spine, where
it's not on the outside; it's on the inside. I have it inserted right up my. Oh, I can't say that on television.
Oh, you mean next to your pacemaker?
Yes, right. Yes.
Uh huh. I see.
Yeah. So they're powered by a little atomic battery. It'll about 10,000 year shelf life. So
I see.
It'll be running for a while.
Now, Dick, I don't like you a bit, but I have a very high regard for your ability to control the conversation. And I imagine that when you get into cross-examination, when you testify at the Libby trial, that Patrick Fitzgerald's going to give you a run for your money. Have you been practicing your non-responsive answers and your evasive responses?
Well, what I have done is I've gotten cues down with all the boys there in the room.
Yeah.
And so when I tug my, you'll watch it. You can watch it on probably on C-SPAN or something like that. They'll probably be running some of it, or the Daily Show. They'll probably show highlights on that.
Yeah, that's where I get my news.
Yeah, a little clown show, a Daily Show.
Yeah.
So you watch me when I'm tugging on my ear, when I'm winking, when I'm picking my nose, when I'm just, you know, scratching my chin. Those are all signals for them to change course, to ask a different question. It's all strictly choreographed.
Oh, I see. Now, let me ask you this, because I see a central theme emerging here. It applied to 9/11. It applied to the, you know, post-invasion mess in Iraq. And now you guys are trying to use this as the defense of Scooter Libby. And it revolves around one word, and it's whoops. Because, of course, whoops, we got skunked on 9/11 and absolutely nobody's been held accountable, demoted, fired, or identified as somebody who dropped the ball. We have a huge mess in Iraq, and the president accepted responsibility. Well, he said it last week in that speech. Whoops was the operative phrase there with the problems we have in Iraq. And now Scooter's going to go in there and say, whoops, I forgot what I had told the FBI and the grand jury. So is whoops kind of the operative concept there of this administration?
Well, actually, yeah, oops is the cover story. Oops is just merely the cover story. It just makes people go, oh, look, they're just like us. They make mistakes, too. Meanwhile, we're busy, just looting the treasury like crazy. And you people are all stuck on the little whoopses and things like that. Meanwhile, we're filling up our Swiss bank accounts.
Uh-huh. And the imminent threats against Iran, you know, we had that provocative incident in Erbil last week where we took some Iranian hostages. That really sets a good tone for things. What is your plan for Iran?
I'm going to buy one of those beekeeper suits, you know.
Yeah.
A Kevlar beekeeper suit. So that, you know, people are saying, you know, we're playing with these hornet's nests. We're, like, sticking these things in a hornet's nest. So,
yeah,
so I'm just going to be, protected. So are you?
Should I get one of those?
Well, if you give it a try, sure. I'll give you the name of my tailor.
You have a tailor who makes beekeeper suits?
Yeah, Halliburton.
Hey, Dick, thanks for talking with me today.
Okay, Peter, I'm keeping an eye on you.
Yeah, I feel it.
God bless America. Nobody else.
Okay, thank you. Sounds just like Dick Cheney to me. Let's see who's next on the line here at 888-5, Peter B. And it looks like Chris from Salinas. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Hey, the last caller, one of the reasons I think there was no indictment over the scooter, you know, the leaking of Ellery Plain,
mm-hmm.
is the fact that there was perjury and obstruction of justice.
Yeah.
I mean, why do you think we're there? You know, I mean, when they obstruct justice and you can't find and you can't get the truth, then how are you going to indict?
You know,
the guy's a moron.
Well, but Steve apparently indulges in a lot of right-wing talk radio because he's very good at repeating those talking points and acting like he thought of them all himself.
Definitely subscribes to the RNC. One other thing, too, that might help the case is the fact that, well, the CIA won't let Valerie Plame write her book. They said that she was a covert operator, so she can't give out that information. At least that's from my understanding.
Right.
So hopefully that will help her case, because their contention is that she was not an undercover or an NOC, and it was okay to leak her name.
I think that this trial coming up is going to be very narrowly focused, circumscribed is the word, and that it will be narrowed to the issues of what Scooter Libby told the FBI, what he told the grand jury, and then they're going to have a parade of people to try to establish what Libby actually knew to be the truth and where he learned it. And from everything we know from published accounts, he learned it from Dick Cheney. And so it appears that Cheney's plan to testify is to try to find a way to absolve Libby from total responsibility for this, either by identifying what the cover story was and that Cheney ordered him to invoke the cover story, which was a lie, and cite national security as a reason for that, or based on the representations of the defense side for Libby and the questions they've been asking prospective jurors, it appears that they are going to use this oops or whoops defense, that Libby just forgot what the truth was and forgot that he hadn't told the truth to the FBI and the grand jury. Somehow, I don't think that's going to fly, because every description of Scooter Libby is that he's a very cautious, very smart man who only speaks when he's very certain of what he's saying. And I think they're going to have a really hard time with this. But I believe we'll never really learn the truth until a few years from now, when the civil suit that Joe and Valerie Wilson have filed against Rove, Cheney, et al. Reaches conclusion. And we actually find out what went on, who was responsible, and how they pulled off this cover-up. I agree with you, Chris. The reason that there isn't an indictment on the underlying charges is that they successfully conducted a cover-up.
Yes, and I agree with you on what they're going to try to pull. Also, one other thing that he said that they didn't leak, why didn't they leak this to other people? And it's my understanding that they did. And other journalists would not run with it. And that Novak and, what's her name?
Judy Miller?
Are, you know, low scumbag journalists that would do something with this. Or were on marching orders from the White House.
Well, Miller's interest was in preserving her own integrity, which had been soiled because she had bought previous stories from the administration and published them, specifically about Curveball, about WMD in Iraq. And she was operating not as a journalist who was covering the administration, but somebody who had sided with them on the pre-war WMD claims and was trying to avoid having her reputation any further damaged by an op-ed piece that was published in her own damn newspaper.
Right. I know.
So it's going to be fascinating but limited. And like I say, we'll get the full truth down the road, maybe.
All right. Take it easy, Peter.
Thank you, Chris. John, Carmel Valley, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Peter, I think it was the other day I heard a caller on Ed Schultz's program, although it could have been yours, but I'm pretty sure it was his, called George Armageddon George. And I have been reflecting a lot on why Bush is so intransigent about staying, and I mean staying, in Iraq. Because the biggest issue really is, and question in my mind, is what really motivates him to stay there? Why is he so determined? Because Ed Schultz said the other day, the morning after Bush's announced increase, he said, I think Bush should have done exactly the opposite. Instead of 21,000 increased, announce that you're withdrawing 21,000 and then say, as clearly as you can, that we're doing this especially to show all those people in Iraq who think we're never going to leave, that we're not only going to start withdrawing 21,000, but we're going to do it step by step, and we're going to get out. I think that would have been the answer for Bush, really been the answer if he was looking for a way out, assuming he decided, well, gee, the voters think I made a mistake, and maybe I did make a mistake. Maybe Iraq was a mistake. Maybe I just bought it wrong. So it now looks like most people think I did. So how am I ever going to get out of this? He's not thinking like that at all.
No, he's not.
Not at all.
No,
so the question is, why isn't he? When his whole future, if he cares so much about what history is going to say about him, why is he taking a path that clearly is the one to ruin? And for us, too, because
well,
as long
John,
as he's getting away with this, we're going down this chute with him,
well,
whether we like it or not.
John, based on what I know right now, my best speculation, and it is speculation, is that he thinks Afghanistan was phase one, Iraq was phase two, Iran and Syria are phase three. And he is, pardon the expression, unfazed by the opposition because his focus is down the road. And he has, you know, whether you buy into the PNAC plan in toto or not, the threads are there that they want to change the entire Middle East. And he is willing to be unpopular for the rest of his life as an ex-president because he has a messianic view of this. And he believes that he has been charged to do this.
Then Armageddon George, you would agree with.
Right? I would. And okay, I'll tell you what. I got to take a break here, John. I'm going to play a little music called Armageddon Days Are Here Again. That fits in exactly with what you're saying. And when we come back from the break, I have an interesting commentary from one George McGovern. And it's a mock interview with President Bush that drives home some points that you've touched on. Thanks for your call today.
Okay.
Check out this song. It's from the late 1980s by a British band called The. And it's called Armageddon Days Are Here Again. Christians are mobilizing. Islam is rising. Check it out.
across the blood red sky, moving in from the east towards the west. We battle clap our helmets over the hills. Yes. If you think that Jesus Christ is coming, honey, you got another thing coming. If he ever finds out who's hijacked his name, he'll cut out his heart and turn in his grave.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. Recently, I've been behind the wheel of the 2007 Lexus GS450H, one of the first luxury sedans I've driven with hybrid technology. This car is very impressive in style, performance, and technical achievement. Has great features like radar cruise control, backup camera and nav system, and a great sound system, too. I drove it to Eureka and back on some two-lane roads in the Redwoods, and this Lexus really performed. My demo's hybrid is called VVT-i, with a six-cylinder gas engine that powers the rear axle and an electric motor to the front. I give this hybrid high marks in every category, but only got 21 miles to the gallon on my road trip. By the numbers, the 2007 Lexus GS450H is rated for 25 mpg in the city, 28 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $66,000. Behind the wheel and styling, I'm Peter B. Collins.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Down in Monterey.
We have a grass fire burning in Gilroy. It's Bloomfield Avenue and Hollister Road. This is a grass fire burning on the shoulder, but very near to the roadway. Fire department is en route to check on that. And a major injury accident in Salinas. It's Blanco Road at Davis Road. Two to three vehicles are involved in this, and they're blocking the roadway. Traffic very sluggish approaching the scene of this accident. And actually, a medical helicopter is en route as well. In Aptos, southbound Highway 1, just south of SoCal Drive, we have a two-vehicle accident cleared over to the right-hand shoulder. CHP is on scene taking a report for them, and also got a tow truck en route to clear them all the way out of there. Looking at the Santa Cruz Mountains, both directions of Highway 17, checking in, stall, and accident-free. This report is brought to you by Standard Pacific Homes. Make the move from renting to owning at the first-time home buyer fair on Saturday, January 20th from 11 to 3. Call 831-674-1021 or visit standardpacifichomes.com. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. 9 minutes away from the hour. There's still room for another call. If you have a comment, you can join us in the free speech zone here, 888-5-PETER-B. John in Arizona, you're up next. Hello, John.
Hey, Peter.
Yes.
Hey, I'm a fan of your show, and I'm actually an attorney here in Arizona.
Great. If I ever get indicted there, can I call you?
Well, I'm. You know, the fellow that spoke with you about Scooter Libby?
Yeah, Steve.
Yeah, actually, you know, to be honest with you, the fact that Scooter Libby was charged with obstruction and perjury, that doesn't prevent someone from indicting on another issue. As a matter of fact, the fact that they are charging him with perjury means that they would have to know what he lied about,
mm-hmm.
Which means if he lied about leaking the name, then they know that he leaked the name, and if that was a crime, they would indict him for that. That doesn't mean that they don't have evidence that someone leaks a name. My point is that the fellow that said it was talking points, and that because he's obstructing and he's lying is preventing them from getting at the underlying crime. That's what he implied.
Well, it's the smokescreen that has made it more difficult for Fitzgerald to get a foothold on the underlying issues.
Right, but if he then how does he know they're lying? How does he know Scooter Libby is lying then if he doesn't know what he's lying about?
Well, here's my point of view. I don't want to try to second guess the caller. I believe that it was an orchestrated effort by the White House Iraq group, which included Libby, Karl Rove, and a number of other individuals. And they met in the vice president's office to map out the media and rhetorical strategy for defending the White House from the Niger claim, the 16
right.
words in the State of the Union message. And they were on high alert, as Patrick Fitzgerald has said in his court briefings in the first 2 weeks of July. Libby and Cheney talked about this almost every day. We know from various accounts that it was Cheney who told Libby about Valerie Plame and that she worked covertly at the CIA, and that occurred in late May or June of that year. And so in my view, what happened was they crafted this official story, and I believe that Rove was the architect of it. And again, this is somewhat speculative, but it's based on, you know, a lot of information I've absorbed. And I think that Rove said, here, this is what we'll do. We'll blame it on the reporters because nobody will ever be able to get the reporters to testify. And that's the blind that we're going to use. We're going to say reporters told us about this, and all we did was pass along what reporters had informed us about. They were trying to get away from any, number one, from identifying the White House or the VP's office as the source of this, and number two, they were aware of the law that, considers it a crime to expose a CIA agent. It was George Bush Sr. who had pushed for that law when he was president.
Right, but why wouldn't they, if that's the case then, if they really wanted to absolve themselves from it, why didn't they just send out an anonymous letter to the New York Times or anywhere?
Well, because they were trying to control the leak without having it directly attributed to them.
Right.
And it's a brilliant maneuver. It fell apart because Fitzgerald was not so intimidated as to avoid going after the press. And by locking up Judy Miller for 86 days, he set an example, and it did force an admission from her. And it ultimately, led to five trips to the grand jury for Karl Rove.
But
now, there's one element here that we've reported on that I haven't seen anywhere else, and that is Jason Leopold has told us that in one of the briefs Patrick Fitzgerald filed, the response from the attorneys for Libby indicate that there is a witness who is going to be called who was granted immunity.
Right.
And I think that's Rove. I could be wrong,
but
it's Rove.
But doesn't the fact that no one was indicted, it is a crime to leak the name of a covered agent, doesn't the fact that he indicted nobody tell you that your entire theory is wrong?
Not yet.
Well, I mean, when's he going to do it?
I don't know. I am waiting to see all the facts come out.
Here's the problem. Your callers are clinging to the hope that something was done, and they just can't accept the fact that all their hopes and dreams are being crushed because there's no indictment coming down.
Well, at this point, I'm with them then, and we'll just let it play out. Thank you, John.
Okay.
I appreciate your call. A listener from Hawaii, B. David, emailed me a little while ago, and this appears, you can find it, I think, at thenation.com in the current issue of The Nation magazine. George McGovern gave a talk at the National Press Club identifying himself as an 84-year-old former senator and candidate for president. And he conducted a mock interrogation of George W. Bush. Until I run out of time here, I'm going to read parts of it to you. Mr. President, when reporter Bob Woodward asked you if you had consulted with your father before ordering our army into Iraq, you said, no, he's not the father you call on a decision like this. I talked to my heavenly father above. My question, Mr. President, if God asked you to bombard, invade, and occupy Iraq for 4 years, why did he send an opposite message to the Pope? Did you not know that your father, George Bush Sr., his Secretary of State Baker, and his National Security Advisor Scowcroft were all opposed to your invasion? Wouldn't you, our troops, the American people, and the Iraqis all be much better off if you had listened to your more experienced elders, including your earthly father? And, Mr. President, After the 9/11 hit against the Twin Towers in New York, which gained us the sympathy and support of the entire world, why did you then order the invasion of Iraq, which had nothing to do with 9/11? Are you aware of your actions costing the international reservoir of goodwill toward the U.S.? What is the cost to America of shattering the standing and influence of our country in the eyes of the world? McGovern goes on with this mock interrogation of Bush. Why, Mr. President, did you pressure the CIA to falsely report that Iraq was building weapons of mass destruction, including nuclear weapons, as you would say it? And when you ordered your Secretary of State, Colin Powell, to go to New York and present to the UN the administration's evidence that Iraq was an imminent nuclear threat to the U.S., were you aware that after reading this deceitful statement to the UN, Mr. Powell told an aide that the so-called evidence was bullsh? He completed the word. But I can't because of the FCC. Is it reasonable to you, President Bush, that Colin Powell told you near the end of your first term that he would not be in your administration if you were to receive a second term? What decent person could survive two full terms of forced lying and deceit? And this goes on. I recommend it to you. Find it at thenation.com. This is Peter B. Collins. I want to thank you for joining me today. This program has been produced by Matt Renner, who's at home recovering. And I want to thank Dennis Jones for covering the telephones here this afternoon. We'll be back at you tomorrow with another great show live on these same radio stations. I hope you'll tune in. Visit my website, peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Could somebody testify lying before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women for me.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. Got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Sean Hornbeck says he always knew his parents were looking for him.
I felt their hope and love.
In a taped interview with Oprah Winfrey, which aired today on her TV show, the Missouri boy said he, who'd been missing more than 4 years, said he slept a lot to pass the time. He didn't say much about his waking hours, but Winfrey says Sean told her off camera that he was too terrified to run or call for help. Craig Akers is his stepfather.
There has to be something being held over his head, something somehow to keep him from, you know, from trying to leave, from trying to get away.
Take courtesy of Harpo Productions. Akers and Sean's mother, Pam, say they'd been advised not to ask him what happened while he was away, but asked if they think he was sexually abused, they said yes. The man accused of kidnapping Sean Hornbeck made a court appearance today in another case.
Dressed in an orange jumpsuit, flanked by two sheriff's deputies, standing with his hands folded in front of him, 41-year-old Michael Devlin expressed little emotion as he was arraigned on a charge of kidnapping.
Mr. Devlin, how do you wish to plead to this matter? Mr. Devlin?
I'm not guilty.
Okay.
The Franklin County prosecutor later told reporters Devlin has admitted abducting 13-year-old Ben Ownby. Devlin faces charges of kidnapping a second teen in 2002. He's a suspect in the 1991 disappearance of a third boy. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Union, Missouri.
Consumer Reports says, never mind. The magazine has withdrawn its negative evaluation of car safety seats for infants because the crash tests were faulty.
This is a striking reversal. It's not known, of course, how many parents may have taken their seats out of the cars, may have tried to do something differently. But parents need to know that these car seats that have been questioned are, for the moment, safe. They do meet all federal standards.
CBS News correspondent Bob Orr says the lab that did the tests mistakenly used force in excess of 70 miles per hour. The side impact collision speed was supposed to be 38. Consumer Reports is running the tests all over again. With Congress considering resolutions against the troop buildup in Iraq, some want to make a show of support for the president's strategy. But CBS News Chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer says it's likely to be very weak.
One senator told me today there is so little enthusiasm among Republicans for the president's plan that he said our resolution may say only...